This is PFW in progress.
Is she looking at me now? No. How about now? Is she looking over here now? No. What about now? Is she looking now? No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked. See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Your money? You know what else? You're a big winner tonight. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
And you never know who else might stop by. PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world. All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Fred and Andy today. The rest of the guys are out on the West Coast. Paul, Mike, and Eric. And will they be calling in? Do we know?
Yes.
They're going to call in at some point?
Paul said in an email he'd be calling in at some point. So I think it'll be Paul today with a little update. Talk about what's going on out there. They had some conference calls, some media availability yesterday. They'll have another conference call today. Players not doing much. They'll obviously get back to the practice field on Wednesday, but... Paul, check in. Let us know. Obviously, you and I can give a little preview based on our short stay there at the hotel.
Well, big win for the Patriots on Sunday. I think it was a huge confidence boost. I think all around the Patriots played pretty well. I think they had a slow start, but once they made their adjustments, I think they completely dominated that game. The score didn't even reflect really the dominance that they had.
I agree.
And so I think it was a good win heading into this game against San Diego. And, you know, I know the Cardinals got criticized for, you know, spending a week on the East Coast. The more I think about it, though, the more it makes sense.
Obviously, especially the way I felt yesterday and today.
Yeah.
And that's what Bill said was, you know, I asked him about it post-game, and he said the biggest part is the next 48 hours from the game was getting right into the work week of breaking down the film from that game, you know, making the adjustments, meeting, and then getting going on the game plan and being able to do all that under normal circumstances.
It's almost was like
sleep.
A home game.
Right.
Right.
Because I don't know about you, but I felt pretty crappy yesterday when I was moving around. And today I felt pretty crappy.
Well, I was sick all weekend.
Right. So, but I mean, you've eliminated any excuse there of the hangover, the jet lag. And I think one of the things we forget about is not just the travel and all that, because you say, well, the guys could go home and sleep in the day, whatever. They're human beings. So, like me yesterday, I got home, I had Jackson running around. You know, these guys have kids, they have wives. So you can't just automatically go home and get 8 hours in the middle of the day. Because there's other stuff going on, and you're a human being. And even if you do, then all of a sudden you're up at midnight because you're not tired anymore. So I don't see any downside to it. You've eliminated any extra wear and tear on your body and all that. And we've talked about it before, in this day and age with the laptop technology and the video and everything, you're not missing anything.
You don't lose anything. Yep.
So I think it's great, and I think, you know, it'll be good for them. And obviously they got off to a good start. And, you know, with the Chargers losing – Chargers aren't the team we think they are. I mean, I picked the Chargers because I just think back-to-back road games, West Coast is tough. I think the Chargers have talent, can hit big plays, things of that nature. But I have a lot better feeling now than I would have last week because you're right. They got back on track against the Niners, and the Chargers aren't the Chargers.
Right. Well, let's talk about this Patriots game. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And, you know, before we get into that, we got the numbers from September for our online radio. Wow. Wow, big, big numbers.
We owe all the listeners.
Big numbers. I mean,
thank you. No, and, no crickets.
And what it tells us...
Crickets are dead because all the listeners are stomping on them.
You know, we have thousands and thousands of people more listening that don't actually call or email.
Hundreds of thousands.
You know, because we do hear from, you know, the same people.
What about Craig?
A lot. Well, I don't know where Craig is. We've lost
Craig. They
have
speakers in a coffin.
You know?
Oh. Wi-Fi 6 feet under.
he's like the, is Craig dead?
Oh, no.
You know? It's like that Paul McCartney thing. Remember, you're too old for that.
Wait for Paul to call him. You can talk about
when
it
when they
him.
Came out with the Abbey Road album, you know, there were all these rumors that Paul was dead. And if you play the album backwards, it actually said Paul is dead. And so, but I think we need to start an internet rumor that Craig might be dead.
I think it's a fact.
You know,
I'm defending the Patriots.
You know, not that Paul. Paul would be dead.
So this
trip he could be.
But we there are thousands. I mean, literally tens of thousands of people listening to these shows
every day,
and it's great. I think it's awesome that we're providing people something that, you know, they find useful
and that they're taking advantage of it. Because, you know, let's be honest, it's not the easiest thing. I mean, you can get in your car and flick on the radio. You have to be in your car. But the people that are listening to this show take some step of effort, whether it's to log on their computer, go through the hassle, or downloading the podcast and listening at some other time. There's an activity involved there from the listeners, and I give them credit for that. That and lunch that they send us all the time.
Actually, I might be a little premature with this one, but we're going to have a new deal with a company called iOmega. The new product that'll be launched probably in a week or two in the pro shop, and it's one of those external hard drives, but it's got a Patriots logo on it and everything, and it's fairly cheap, and I think it'll be a good Christmas present for people who, you know that download a lot of content for Patriots.com. You can now store it all on this external hard drive with a Patriots logo on it, so all your PFW and progresses can be right there.
Then what do you do with them?
You just save them.
For what?
I don't know.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
And if you want to listen to it, how do you listen to it? That doesn't plug into your iPod.
No, it plugs into your computer. So you download it to your iPod, or you can listen
to it. Why would you take it off your computer just to have to put it back on your computer?
You can't store everything on your computer. It's just not enough space.
You can't store it on a little hard drive either.
Yes, you can. These things are like, you know, 100 gigs or something like that. You know, you can get
nice effort. I'm sure they'll sell them. You did a fine job trying to sell people
Jr.
to the pro shop.
Check it out.
Kyle Jr., they're a potential sponsor. Let's say it's a good thing.
No, the technology is great. I think those things in general are great, but I'm not sure our show is the best use of it.
No, but overall, data storage is Patriots a huge content. Thing. Data storage is a huge thing because more and more people
photos.
Are now downloading movies, downloading radio shows, whatever. You need a place to store it, especially when, you know, people change laptops like every other year.
Because laptops suck.
Right. But, you know, now you've got all your important stuff stored externally, so you just get your new laptop, you just plug it right back in. It's just a fun fact.
Let's talk about the defense that beat the hell out of the 49ers.
No, but let's get back to the game. I digress. Webradio at Patriots.com. Slow start for the defense, but I think eventually, you know, they really had an answer to everything that San Francisco wanted to do. San Francisco had 6 plays in the third quarter.
Yeah, the time of possession went 39 and change to 20 minutes, basically. San Francisco went 2.5 quarters where it was 3 and out. They were just getting kicked off the field. Offensively, the Patriots were converting on third down at the same time where the 49ers couldn't. So it just all came together, and the defensive players credited the offense with helping them to settle in because they were struggling a little. You know, they forced the first punt. Then they had some issues for a couple possessions there. You're trailing 14-7. They had that one terrible play to Bruce down the left side.
Yeah, what happened there? I don't know.
Busted coverage. You know, did you hear Bill after the game joked? I asked him, I said, did you make adjustments after those plays or did you just settle in defensively? And he said,
yeah, I was at the game.
I forgot how he phrased it. We basically just asked all our guys to actually cover the men they were supposed to.
Right.
So that was an adjustment.
Right.
Took a little shot there. But after that, just settled in. And guys like Teddy Bruschi were saying, you know, it was fun just to hang out on the sideline, drink Gatorade.
Right.
It was a really easy day for the defensive players because not only were there not a lot of snaps for the defense, but they were rotating at all three levels. You had guys like Mike Wright and Jarvis Green, Gary Guyton, Pierre Woods were all playing. So, you know, Richard Seymour said afterwards, could probably count the plays I actually played on my two hands.
You know, one of the things I realized from the 49ers, and, you know, we don't get to see them a lot, but the number of weapons that J.T. O'Sullivan have is very limited.
Right. You have an old guy in Isaac Bruce who hurt them, had a couple plays. Right. Frank Gore is obviously a very good
and
player.
And he's the only guy that carried the ball.
Right. And he ran, I think he had 40 yards in the first half and nothing from there, you know, like another 15 yards total, because it not only became one-dimensional, but they were stopping him.
Right. His biggest run was 16 yards, and then after that.
Right. Yeah. And they don't, you know, Vernon Davis is supposed to be a playmaker. He should be the key to that offense because he's a ridiculously gifted player. He doesn't put it in together on the field. He's a lot like Ben Watson.
I was just going to say.
They are sort of the same guy.
That one play, he was wide open in the flat, and he just turned and didn't even look at the ball.
So, and he's had issues. He caught one last week and was complaining, give me the damn ball. And, well, if you'd catch it, they would probably get it to you more. Terrible bust. And that's part of the reason they don't have weapons. They've drafted some guys and acquired some guys that haven't.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Gore's are a whole offense. And when he's not on, when you shut him down, that's it.
And beyond that, their offensive line's not that good. So that's going to limit what Gore can do at times. I know Bill praised them, but they weren't that good. I know the Patriots only had one sack, but they chased him all day.
Exactly. The only thing that saved O'Sullivan was his legs because they were in the backfield all day.
And that's what Adalys Thomas said. He said he's kind of like Brett Favre, that he can scramble and run around. But he said, I know he's tired because I'm tired because he was chasing him all day. And Thomas was, you know, the one who did get the one sack.
Right.
But, yeah, I agree with you, what you said to start off. More dominant than the 9 points would show.
Yep.
Aside from a couple mistakes, and even the turnovers, I liked because they were attempting to get the ball down the field to Moss. They hit the 166-yard touchdown. The first one before that, they were going for Moss deep down the field, even though you can't tell by where it was picked off because Castle got hit, and it ended up at Takeo Spike's interception. And then the other pick, I think, could have been another long touchdown if he had gotten 4 or 5 more yards out of the throw.
Yep.
Because it was the same thing, double coverage, and I think Moss would have split it had he been able to go after the ball. It was a little underthrown.
When Castle hit Moss in the first quarter on that play, I mean, didn't you feel like all of Patriots Nation kind of breathed a huge sigh of relief?
It
was like, okay, we can do that.
On a lot of levels, because not just the production right then and there, but getting Moss involved, keeping Moss happy.
Right.
Castle maybe building a little confidence with Moss. You know, there was a lot of dynamic involved with that one play, certainly, certainly.
That was as well-timed a pass as you could ever have, because the ball reached him just as he split those guys. So they really, the time that they had to recover was just minimized because of the timing of the pass, and it was right on his hands.
And
he never broke stride.
And the best part was it wasn't easy. It wasn't, you know, a busted coverage. There were two guys there, one of them, Nate Clements, an all-pro type corner. So, you know, they're competing it against a high level of defensive competition. So it can only build confidence.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I don't think I've, you know, I know Randy Moss doesn't always look like he's running fast, but he is because he's just that kind of glider. But he was running hard on that play. I haven't seen him really run that hard, in a long time.
Because that's what drives him, is the play, the ball,
I can't speak that language, brother.
Going after it. You know, there's even if he wanted to, even if he was sulking, let's say he's in Oakland, I think a pass like that he would still catch because his instincts take over and he's a natural playmaker and he just goes and gets the ball. So that's why I think he's not as fast as he used to be, but he is when he needs to be. And that's why I think if that other one had been, you know, 4 or 5 yards deeper, he probably would have split the guys and caught it.
On the other hand, no more end-arounds to Randy Moss.
No more.
Why? He can't. He's not that kind of runner.
Right.
You need to be a quick runner. He's not a quick runner.
Plus,
he's
setting him up for
runner.
Hits, and I don't want him taking any more hits than he needs to.
I don't know why they.
I don't want your boy running him either. I don't really need the end-arounds.
Welker?
I don't.
Yeah, but it's good for 8 yards at times. You know, I don't mind him or Jabbar Gaffney running it. But I don't want
Gaffney. I'm okay with.
Yeah, I don't want to see Randy Moss running end arounds anymore.
I agree.
He's too big a target.
I joked to Paul during the game. I wondered if fans were calling the plays again, because if you remember, that was the play call in the preseason game, a Moss end around on the first play of the game against whoever it was, and that was a fan call. It was a charity thing, and I don't need to see those anymore.
No. So
the risk there is far greater than any potential reward.
Yeah, he's just not going to outrun any people from a dead start like that.
Right.
You know?
And he doesn't have the shiftiness to make people miss if he needs to.
Right.
And he ends up cutting it back against the grain, which with an end around is the worst possible thing because you're running back into the
I mean, he's
wave
like a giraffe. When those giraffes, you know, on the Serengeti plain, when they really start running, they're fast. But from a dead start, they're not, you know.
What in God's name are you babbling about?
I don't know.
Serengeti Plains. Get a little punchy from the travel?
A little bit. Anyway, so That was good stuff. That Moss pass.
What in the hell is going on?
That was just a thing of beauty.
It was.
It really was. Now, I think that overall the running game and the offensive line did pretty well.
Except for Twinkle Toes.
I think five sacks. I don't like five sacks. I don't care who's back there.
That's the major concern right now with Castle, if you want to look at his development, is it seems like any time his first option is sort of shut down or protection breaks down quickly, he tucks the ball and just dances deer in headlights type look.
He's got to get better at that.
And there was a lot of those on third down, passing downs. They were very good on third down, right around 50% to stay on the field. But when they didn't, he had, I want to say, 3 or 4 like 5 yard sacks in those situations.
When things break down, he goes left or right, but he doesn't step up that well. He hasn't really kind of learned when to step up.
What he seems to do is one step left, one step right, and one step up. Like he doesn't know what to do.
Right.
He loses his head.
And I think a lot of that is experience.
I agree.
You know, as he sees, what protection is like from his team, he'll learn, those movements. Some quarterbacks have it instinctually. He's going to have to learn that. So that's something that.
And even if he had it instinctually, he would have lost it over the last 9 years on the bench doing nothing.
You got to develop
that. I think that can only, it's bad right now, but it can only improve with every rep, every pressure, every time.
Now, Maroney.
Twinkle Toes.
I'm losing patience.
I'm all set.
I'm losing patience.
I think he might get saved again. Because Lamont Jordan was banged up and might be limited for a week or two here. Although Bill did say yesterday he looks like a quick healer, so it doesn't look major.
Yeah.
But this happened, if you remember, was it the opener where Jordan had a good game? Maroney didn't.
Yep.
And I was thinking, well, Jordan's going to cut into these, and he was banged up. Had the foot issue for a week or so.
Right.
But I'm left speechless. He is what he is at this point, and that's not a consistent ball carrier.
I actually missed the play where they said that he ran out of bounds instead of hitting the first down marker.
Yeah, he danced.
Yeah.
He went a little sideways shuffle. I'm all set with him.
But there were some other plays where clearly if he had just gone straight ahead.
He'd get 4 yards.
He would have got 3-4 yards.
And if he did that, what he doesn't understand is if he does that, his natural ability will turn 10% of those into 20, 30, 40-yard runs.
Right.
Because he's powerful. He's fast. He's quick. He has all that ability.
Right.
But he's eliminating the big play by looking for the big play.
He's eliminating his power for once.
Right.
Because when you're running sideways, you have none.
There was one where he got tackled for maybe a 4 yard loss where the guy barely touched him, but because he was dancing and hopping around, he just went down like a twig. I mean, he had nothing there. And I just think it's time when, if they're healthy, it's Morris and Jordan. Just alternate between those guys. There's only so many carries to go around. I want them to be productive ones. Lamont Jordan, yes, there was one carry on Sunday. He got hit. Would have been like a 4 yard gain. And then all of a sudden it was a 9 yard gain because he just moved the pile.
Right.
He never stops moving forward. He's got powerful legs. And I think Morris is the same thing. Not the most gifted guy in the world, but he hits the hole fast and takes what's there. And a lot of times that ends up as a 6 yard run.
So I don't know what they do with this guy. I mean, clearly I think he's got more talent. He's definitely got more speed and as much power as the other guys.
Chad Jackson had more talent than a lot of these receivers, but it doesn't always work
out. I don't know what they do. And like you said, maybe it's rare that you see a guy start out in his first 3 years as a running back and then be able to, change the way he is.
Non-existent.
I'm very, very discouraged. What about Paul? Paul's a running back?
No, Paul's more of a nose tackle.
Paul's on the phone?
Andy. You're such a fathead.
Paul's here. Hey, Paul.
Hey. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
He can be cranky on the West Coast.
So what's happening over there? You guys having fun?
It's been a little quiet because we haven't really had a ton to do yet. We had a conference call yesterday with Bill, obviously, and then some players spoke. Today, Bill's going to talk again in about a couple hours. And tomorrow, I guess, we'll go over to San Jose State and get the practice and do all that fun stuff.
Okay. And so now you guys went to the Love Fest last weekend, is that right, in San Francisco?
I did not attend the Love Fest. However, some of the members of the Kraft Sports Productions group did. I believe Leo went over.
So they he got into
some loving.
They had this thing in San Francisco called Love Fest, and it was just people acting weird, and I don't know, what were they doing? What made it a Love Fest?
Lubricants.
Eric was there?
Eric was not there. I think
you
we're going to go
San
Francisco today, though.
Okay.
We might try to do Andy's Alcatraz thing today.
Okay. All right.
So what's going on back then?
Well, we're talking about the game, and
I'm eating a cookie.
So what were you so upset about, Fred? I heard as I got on the phone, you were very discouraged.
You know,
disappointed by something.
We talked about the positives of the game a lot, you know, how we thought that once the
defense 25 minutes, that's a record for you.
Yeah, once the defense got settled in, it was a lot more dominant than the score actually indicated. We were very happy about the Moss play. That was a huge sigh of relief for everybody to see that play happen. And, you know, Castle, we think that the negatives that he had are definitely correctable with time and experience, you know, mainly pocket awareness and sure, that type of thing. But, you know, I have to say I'm losing patience with Lawrence Maroney.
Oh, okay. So that's what you were disappointed in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't, you can't really sugarcoat it. He didn't run the ball well. And I thought, interesting yesterday, I don't know how much you guys paid attention. I'm sure you guys were dead to the world yesterday, but Bill was asked specifically about Maroney. And if he thought that he was getting what he thought he should be getting out of Maroney at this stage in his career, and it was like a one sentence answer that we're happy with Lawrence and he's been a good back for us and will continue to be, and that's all he said. And generally, I know that the words were positive, but you know how Bill answers questions. He usually goes into some depth and detail, even if he's not telling you a whole lot. I thought the short, you know, abrupt answer there kind of told me that he's not all that pleased with Maroney.
I agree with you.
Maroney,
okay,
AKA
so
Q-A,
I didn't hear it. I just
AKA L dot.
I read the transcript, Fred, and the first thing I thought of was that's as close to Bill Belichick throwing a player under the bus
you
as you'll
so?
Ever get. Yes,
that's it. And we all looked at each other. Mike, Eric, and I were all on the conference call together, and we all looked at each other and just went, "Wow." That was kind of short.
If the Lamont Jordan injury is, you know, I know I read the transcript. Bill kind of downplayed it and said he looks like he's a quick healer.
I thought that was interesting too.
If that injury is minor, I think you're seeing the beginning of the end of Lawrence Maroney as the lead ball carrier or a focal point of the offense here in New England.
Well, I can't tell you how disappointing that is to me because I definitely see the potential with this guy.
Yeah.
He just refuses to run north south.
Yeah, he takes a long time to get to the line of scrimmage at times, I think. And I think that's what gets him in trouble. Whereas with Morris and Jordan, you know, they get through the line and then they decide if they're going to try to make a big play.
Yep.
So the plays that get shut down for them usually end up being 3 or 4 yard gains. Whereas, you know, for Maroney, they're, you know, no gains or 1 or 2 yard gains. And I think there's a big difference with that. You know, Bill talks a lot about manageable second downs. I don't think Maroney consistently puts them in good second down situations.
Yep. And that's a bigger issue with the team that the Patriots are under Matt Castle. You don't have Tom Brady to fall back on, so when it's 3rd and 9 consecutive drives that he converts those, you need to have Castle working in the most manageable situations possible, and I don't think Lawrence Maroney is good for that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys about Castle, too. I mean, he did make some mistakes on Sunday, and you know, he underthrew Moss on another attempt that, you know, may have been a touchdown. He fumbled a snap and obviously the 5 sacks. But when you take some chances and you ask him to do some different things, I think that you can look at it and say, well, yeah, he made some mistakes, but he also made some plays. And I think that the plays outweigh mistakes. I thought he made some big throws that didn't necessarily, get a lot of attention. Quick slants, 3rd and 9s that Andy was just talking about, one to Welker. The 3rd and 20 late in the game when they're up 6 points, 13-yard pass to Gaffney to set up Gostkowski's last field goal to put the game away. I thought that was a really big throw. And I think, the signs for Castle, I think, were positive on Sunday, even though he did make some mistakes.
That's a good thing they didn't replace him like you wanted them to.
Didn't want them to. Again, you insist on putting your own words into point counterpoints.
Anyway, I just wanted to say real quickly, following up on your last point, Teddy Bruschi actually brought that up when I was talking to him post-game about the thing that impressed him most from Castle was not only that they converted on third downs, but he called them, quote, true conversions where he had to fit a pass in, zip it in there to a Welker or to a Gaffney on a slant or an in-cut, and it had to be a good throw, and he made those throws. And obviously, Bruschi had a lot of time to watch those because the defense didn't really play much. And he said that was the most impressive thing for him, and I think you're accurate. You know, Castle took a positive step forward if we can just cut out those deer in headlight sacks that he took a couple times.
Yeah, so we're all in agreement that it was a really strong performance by the team, overall. 40-20 time of possession and everything. But Fred, you brought up Lawrence Maroney as a negative, and I'm wondering, and I don't know this to be certain, but we were talking, Andy, during the game about how much all those sub packages were used, and Gary Guyton was out there a lot, and, you know, Mayo was coming out. Now, Bill talked about yesterday
those
packages were a large part game plan related, specific to San Francisco. And I believe him because I know that's what he does. He's a game plan coach. But I'm wondering with Mayo specifically if that wrist thing that we saw in the locker room had anything to do with maybe his snaps not being as high as they normally are.
My guess is yes, but not in a terrible way. I think probably just monitoring it. That was the impression I got, that this was a chance to monitor it. Maybe, you know, Gary Guyton is probably more athletic than Jerod Mayo. You know, ran a faster 40 time, did better at the combine in the bulk of the running drills. So my guess is the thought process was, you know, the Mike Martz offense in sub packages, I'd rather have the more athletic guy out there. And a benefit of that is less wear and tear, less banging for Mayo early in the season when you're going to need him in some probably more physical type games down the road. So, you know, they have confidence in Guyton. Why not do it in this game, in this situation, where it probably even benefits you?
Yeah, you're probably right. And like I said, I definitely I know that Bill is being forthright when he talks about things that are specific for a game plan, because we've seen him do that time and time again.
Right.
So there's no reason to think this was any different. But I just was wondering with the cast that we saw on Mayo's wrist in the locker room last week, if maybe, you know, the two went hand in hand.
I don't know. Getting back to Maroney, the question to Belichick was, do you think you are getting everything you should be getting from Lawrence Maroney at this stage of his career? Belichick, I think Lawrence has done a good job for us. He's a good back. He played well, and I think he will continue to play well. That was his answer.
Right.
Yeah. I just thought it was really short. Like, you can't go by what he said, because obviously what he said was positive.
But he's never going to be negative about a player, really.
Right.
So,
but you look at the other answers, Fred, and is generally a little bit more to the, you know, a little bit more well, in the answer
the
other than
is,
that.
There have been times when Maroney's been out there where he has hit the hole quick and done well, but I think that he came into this season thinking, okay, now I'm the back, I'm the guy. You know, every time I get the ball, I got a chance to break one, and he's fallen back on this tap dance thing that he does. I don't know if he can, you know, but I think that they're seeing that. I think they're taking him out and saying, look, if you're not going to hit the hole, you're not playing.
I think we saw that to some degree, a message being sent when he was inactive and Lamont Jordan was active a couple weeks ago against the Dolphins. I think that was a message in terms of durability. And I think you're going to see some messages sent moving forward in terms of carries that you're not the guy. You're not the star you think you are. We need productive carries. We don't need dancing. And I just think the bottom line is he's going back to his instincts, because this has been the knock on him throughout his collegiate career, that he looks for the big play too much, dances too much, is trying to find the 80-yard run when there's only really a 4-yard run. And I just think you sometimes you can't change an athlete's stripes, and those are his stripes.
Hmm. All right. So, Paul, living conditions are okay?
Yeah, they're treating us okay, Freddie.
You getting the turn-down service at the end of the day? You know, they turn down your bed, put a couple chocolates in your bed for
you? No, I keep the little do not disturb sign out there.
So oh, you don't want anybody getting in your stuff.
Housekeeping. Right. Want to fluff your pillow?
And parentis behaving?
You never know. We could just whack off.
Well, I mean, aside from, doing his Mario Andretti impersonations on the roads, Parenti is behaving.
Well, I read that
just don't get in the car with him.
I read that on the blog, and to remind listeners, you guys are blogging while you're out there.
We'll wait until Bill talks again. That's going to be around noon our time.
Right.
And off of that conference call, we'll probably pop
and
a couple
now,
more items up there on the blog.
Reading from Dan.
Right. So I read the blog about what happened yesterday with Parenti driving. I mean, you know, what's going on? Are you guys wearing your seatbelts? Should we be taking life insurance out on you guys? Sounds
well,
like.
You know what I was most disappointed in, Fred? Mike is who he is. Obviously, he drives like a maniac, and that's what he does. But Eric was very upset about it. You know, he was sitting next to me in the back seat, and he's shaking his head. He's covering his eyes. But then when it comes time to say, hey, Mike, you want to slow down or anything, you think he has my back? No. He clams up and says, I don't like when people correct my driving when I'm driving, so I don't want to do the same thing.
What the hell are you doing?
Well, who is Eric driving around?
He did his impersonation of his PFW in progress on Wednesday performance and didn't say a word.
Who was sitting in the front seat
next
to Parenti?
Stop telling lies. You are a
Bilo was with you guys.
Okay. Yeah, and Mike Bennett was with us, too.
Okay. So you had a full, what do you got,
a clown car?
Yeah.
No, you were in the Impala, Andy.
Must have been tight across the back, huh?
There's plenty of room. And then
you take up a seat and a half on your own.
Is there a weight limit on that thing?
Then the GPS tells us to take a hard left coming off the exit on the highway. And obviously it was, you know, there was some changes made to the road because, you know, there was an island there. Yeah, so you think you just go right and go down and take a U-turn. No, Mike goes over train tracks the wrong way, cuts back across. Oh, yeah. Oh, there was no one coming. We're all set.
So we may never see you guys again. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, yeah. I had, pictures of my kids in my hand at the time, just in case.
And Eric had his rosary beads out?
Good Red Sox game, though. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, unfortunately, I watched the whole damn thing last night because I was still on West Coast time and couldn't fall asleep. By the way, Paul, you're the baseball elitist. What was your view on the missed squeeze play and Veritek dropped the ball?
Well, he's out. I mean, I think he's out. Veritek had the ball, tagged him.
I agree with you.
Well after that.
I agree with you, but I don't love it.
I think it was a good call. It's one of those things where it's
almost like in football, like you consistently across the board. If you dive on any other play in baseball to make a catch, you have to land with the ball, correct?
I will say this. There was a play in the Brewers series against Philadelphia where the right fielder made a catch, slammed into the fence, caught the ball, hit the fence, went down, still had the ball, and then the glove hit the ground and the ball came loose and they said it was no catch.
Yeah, see that?
So I don't really see what the difference
that
between those two plays
that would
be. That's my point.
Yep.
That's my point.
Yep.
I think it was the right call.
I think the one in the Philly series was called incorrectly. I think it should have been an out.
Right. I agree.
But I also think Mike Socha made a terrible managerial decision to squeeze in that situation. You have Manny Del Carmen on the mound, who has never recorded an important out in his entire career. He's not going to get a strike out there. You're going to score the run. Just let him swing. 2-0 count. Let him swing.
Probably accurate. And the young pitchers had already started
to poop
themselves with Masterson throwing that air mailing. Poor umpire is just reacting now to the ball when he went by.
How funny was that? He got out of the way about 10 minutes after it hit
Holy
the backstop.
Crap.
Behind.
That guy must have been drugged up or something with those delayed reflexes.
So you guys are thinking of going to Alcatraz?
Yeah, I think we're going to head into San Francisco today. Yeah.
So there's a lot
Mike, Eric, and I.
You're going to get out of the. You're going to actually do the tour.
Well, I guess if it's as easy as everybody says it is. Andy said you have to wait 2 weeks in advance, but everybody else seems to walk up and do it.
You can walk up and do
it. No, I heard somebody on the elevator at the stadium say they couldn't go because they couldn't get a ticket.
You buy them online, you can get them. But there's a lot of walking on that tour, Paul.
All right. Well, but I think I can make it.
A lot of uphill and downhill stuff. So just so you know.
Paul,
All right.
Do me a favor, since it sounds like we're wrapping up here. Make sure you don't let Eric partake in too many San Francisco treats, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh.
Is that the word of the day today, San Francisco treats?
It might be. We haven't done that yet, but.
Okay. But what else is going on there? What was the cover?
Bombay. We have a picture of Moss catching the touchdown pass.
It's a good cover.
Like it.
And you know
guessing,
how I know
I'm
it's.
Guessing he, I'm guessing Andy said. I don't get it.
No. No, it's a good cover, but you know how I know Fred knew it was good? Because he didn't even consult anyone. It's just the first time I saw it was when it came across my desk printed.
Andy, please. We were both bleary-eyed.
It was not a
morning for consultation. We just get it done.
Yeah, but when you don't consult, sometimes we end up with bad kitty scratches
bad
back
kitty.
At Pat's.
Well, but there was no one to consult with, so I was kind of on my own.
No, we actually had a – we got back a little early, Paul.
Get one of those Mike Pekka covers.
Easy.
Who asked you?
I think we had a good little editing process. Everything went pretty smoothly. You know
had everything where it was supposed to be.
We think so.
You know how? Well, yeah. Don't look through it too closely when you get back. But you know how I know it went well? Because Michelle Muse came over and patted me on the back and said, "Good job."
Wow.
She's like Andy Hart. You don't get a lot of pats on the back from her.
You don't get a lot of warm, fuzzy compliments from Michelle.
We love you, Michelle. If you're listening upstairs.
I will say, Andy, that we need to convince Fred to get a copy editor because the post-game process is immensely different when you just write.
I can imagine.
Sure it is.
I'll have to because I was on a plane writing and then editing while you were sleeping and drinking. One point, Fred looks to me and goes, Paul's probably on his 11th Miller Lite by now.
Well, that's the other thing that really put a downer on it, Fred. The last couple of nights you've been going into San Jose,
yeah,
and they're all microbreweries.
You don't like those.
I can't even get Miller Lights.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Right.
Well, not the last couple of nights, Eddie Mac. I had to go with the Diet Pepsi route because I couldn't drink Miller Lights.
Well, since you're going to be there for a week, why don't you just go out, buy a 30-pack, and fill the tub with ice?
Yeah, I was going to do that yesterday, but I do have to shower in that tub.
Oh, yeah. That's unfortunate.
All right. All right, Paul.
Well, all right, then.
Thanks for calling in. You guys have a lot of work to do today, and then somebody will call in tomorrow, I take it?
Yeah, I'll probably call you tomorrow, too.
All right.
You know, I'm an attention seeker, and I need to have my airtime. You don't want Eric to call in. He won't say anything.
That's right.
Plus, we don't like Eric.
Although I might have to do something tomorrow for the craft people.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
So I don't know what time that's going
to
be.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Okay. All right. Well,
you guys hold down the fort. We'll see you soon.
All right. That's Paul Perillo calling in from the West Coast.
Santa Clara.
And he'll be out there all week. We'll see him on Friday.
Saturday.
Oh, that's right. They're not coming until Saturday.
We'll be in San Diego Friday, but the team won't join us until Saturday.
That's right. So we will see Paul on Saturday. So that's I would think that's living in that hotel room for really 10 days is going to be tough.
Yes.
You know? But, you know, they're doing it for the team. They're taking one for the team.
It's easier than the Super Bowl. There's not as much hectic
stuff
going on.
Work-wise. I'm just saying it might get boring.
Which actually may make it worse because you have more time to go back and say, this sucks. I'm in the hotel room.
Right.
Plus the hotel smelled.
You didn't like the hotel? No.
It was okay. I got the impression, based on the way the hotel was built, there were two big towers that looked like a normal hotel. And then there was the spread out area in the back.
Right.
I got the impression that those aren't always used back there, that's overflow or large groups or whatever. And maybe that's why my room smelled a little musty, that it hadn't been used.
Nothing to do with you.
No, it smelled when I got in there, not when I left.
Okay.
It did smell when I left because I vomited and had issues in the bathroom.
Okay, all right.
I puked in the garbage can again.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is email address. We're going to get to your emails right after this. This. Dan, you with us?
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation.
graduation party.
It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
July 27th, 2008. Going back to Cali. Perhaps in honor of the team's two West Coast trips, the Patriots performed their pre-practice stretching to the tune of LL Cool J's Going Back to Cali. That was followed by the all-time club classic Apache, which got Paul in a good mood for a change. Also, in a totally unrelated matter, Fred, I don't miss practices, Kirsch, has yet to arrive this morning.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, Andy and Fred holding down the fort. Paul, Mike, and Eric are out on the West Coast. Dan's in the booth. Gary has a meeting, so things are normal back there. Getting your emails here, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I know we have a lot of West Coast listeners, and we've had a lot of email requests. Hey, can I meet up with you guys when you're on the West Coast? Should we give out Eric's cell phone number?
I think we should.
Well, maybe if we can get that cell phone
401.
We'll give it out.
Can you get that for us, too, Gender? We want to give that out and let people call him. Maybe they can meet up with him.
We'll give out Eric's
cell phone. That's right. We never hooked up with Christy in D.C.
Yeah, what happened to that?
She never – wasn't she going to contact us?
She didn't want to meet up with Mike and Eric, though.
That's true. I wouldn't either.
Okay. All right. Lots of emails coming in. Thank you. And we mentioned earlier in the show, September numbers came in for this show, and – my God, thank you for listening. Tens of thousands of listeners to this show.
We're huge.
It's what about them? Larry in California bought us lunch today.
So and it was excellent. I love it when they throw in the surprise desserts.
Yeah, very good,
Larry. Because I always put in an order for the sub I want, but then when there's cookies and brownies, ooh.
Larry got off good today because no Paul. So, you know, what? You're not even – I figured you'd like that, Andy.
It just didn't strike a nerve. It might be.
It's not as much fun when he's not here.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
And he can't hear. I feel bad.
Well, he might be listening.
On his laptop. Oh, yeah, he does have a laptop.
He could be listening.
True.
Yeah.
Due to the latency of the internet, he's just getting it now.
Okay. Frank from Stuttgart, Germany writes in. Just one quick question. What does Matthew Slater do to earn a roster spot? To me, it looks like Belichick and Pioli are too stubborn to admit that his drafting was a mistake. If he doesn't return kicks, just release him. You should have enough bodies elsewhere to cover kicks.
First of all, he is on the kick return team.
He actually returned one. It was
he
a short
returned
kick.
A short one the other day. But more importantly, they've had one of the best kick return units in the league, and he's leading the way for Ellis Hobbs. I'm not going to pretend I broke down every kickoff, but my guess is if he wasn't doing a good job, A, Hobbs wouldn't be having success, and B, he wouldn't be back out there.
Yeah.
And they are having success, so I think Slater probably deserves some of that credit.
Slater will, before this season is over, open some eyes.
And you should probably also watch kick coverage because he is – almost always the first one down there. And that's a skill. You know, this team puts a lot of emphasis on guys like Gerard Cherry and Larry Izzo. So if you can get a young one of those guys that's cheap and can do a variety of things, you could see Matthew Slater, not only will he not be gone, he might be here for the next 5 or 6 years as a core special teamer.
So there, Parenti.
Yeah,
in case
Parenti.
You're listening.
Plus, he always makes me laugh when he walks through the locker room. Have you seen him, Fred, when he comes?
Who, Parenti?
Slater. He has his. He's got those like square, no-frame glasses that are sort of like metro/cerebral.
Yeah.
He's got his hat on and his backpack on, but he looks like he's just coming from class at UCLA.
Right.
He looks like that student just ready to go.
Yeah.
So he makes me chuckle.
Todd writes in, tried to listen to Patriots Friday eye roll. It was worse than Patriots Monday. They mentioned the Patriots like once all afternoon. I tune into Patriots.com for, you know, Patriots info and talk, not baseball Red Sox talk. I'll tune back in next year when the weasels that made this decision decide to put PFW and Rook and other actual, you know, Patriots talk on 4 days a week. Just had a meatball sub.
And I almost just saw the meatball again.
They make a good meatball.
Do they at D'Angelo's?
Yeah.
You liked that?
But
is that the first time you've
been there? A lot of people complaining about Patriots Monday. And I mean,
because it's not really Patriots Monday or Friday. It's Patriots when they do the interviews and when they're talking. But there's also a lot of Red Sox that's going to be dispersed.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing, they're not doing that exclusively for Patriots.com. We're just simulcasting it. That's their real broadcast that's on WEEI. And, you know, it's Red Sox are in the playoffs, so they're going to talk Red Sox, you know. But it is the only place you can get those exclusive interviews. So it's worth tuning in for that. And if you don't want to, Chris Ferreira, one of the best webmasters in the NFL, takes those interviews and posts them to the web separately. So if you want to just download or listen just to those interviews, you don't have to listen to the whole show all day.
That's what I would recommend for listeners, because you're going to find it difficult to get through the other crap, because there's a lot of crap on that.
Now, the other thing I would suggest to all those Patriots fans.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
All those Patriots fans who have take exception with Patriots Monday, Patriots Friday, start a phone call brigade. So call the station, and then they'll have to talk about Patriots. If all the callers want to talk about Patriots, they're going to have to talk about Patriots.
Or send an email to the front office here saying, we want more of the PFW boys.
Well, no. I mean, but that's what I would suggest.
No.
is, you know, really, you know, get together, band together, and just bombard WEI with Patriots callers. And then, you know, they're caller-driven, so they'll talk about Patriots.
Yeah, they're Red Sox-driven.
Well, they are, but, you know, they have the Red Sox shows, so it's in their interest to promote the Red Sox. But
it's also easier for them. There's a game every night or every other night.
But screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
And plus, it takes a little bit of intelligence to talk football. It's a lot easier to talk
baseball.
That's
true. Anybody can talk baseball.
Simple.
A kid plays T-ball for a year, and he's an expert.
Right. I mean, you play BU for a couple of years, and you think you know the game.
But you really don't.
No, not really.
It's a low level. They got rid of the program.
Yeah. But I mean, that is the way. Affect change. Don't just hope for it. Affect it. Call them. Say, I want to talk Patriots. And then they have to talk Patriots. And I think we have enough listeners to this show that even if you're not in the broadcast area, you're listening to the same broadcast on Patriots.com. I don't know. What's the phone number for EEI? We can give that out right now. 617 what? Two Gen. You don't know that off the top?
779-0850.
779-0850. 779-0850. Area code 617. Write it down. And on Fridays and Monday, Mondays, call and say, you know, what do you think about the game?
And end every call with, get Andy Hart on the big show.
You could do that. So there's,
or a nice Baba Booey.
So knowing that we have these tens of thousands of people listening, we need to put them to work. You know?
Okay.
Let's you know.
I'm just happy with luck.
You know, it's like Oprah. Oprah has her following, and whatever Oprah says, her following. She holds up a book on her show, and all of a sudden, it jumps to the top of the bestseller list. We can be the same way with our listeners. We can. You know,
these numbers have gone to Fred's head. He's comparing us
Fred,
to Oprah.
You don't even believe your own crap.
No, but I agree with our listeners. I mean, when they do have Patriots talk, it's Fred Smirlis and Steve DiAsi shouting down people and talking nonsensically.
Well, that's what annoys me is when they do have – you can't have a Patriots discussion because unless you are you, Homer guy, that comes in and says, yeah, everything's great – they yell at you. They shoot you down. There's no alternative viewpoint.
Right. There's no discussion.
Right.
You know?
Which you can make fun of Paul or me or whatever for being negative and being everything but Patriots, but at least that elicits discussion, debate, back and forth, some facts on both sides.
Right.
It's all propaganda on that show.
And as a result,
they listen to Hitler.
And as a result of what they're doing, the people who really can discuss, you know, football intelligently, they're not listening anymore.
Right.
You know, they've gotten Sirius and they're listening to the NFL station on Sirius.
Or this show.
They're listening to this show.
On their iOmega hard drive.
EEI hasn't become an alternative for good football talk. And, you know.
It's buffoonery.
Yeah, so we can change that. So.
Sports Radio 850.
Aren't they like a very important partner with us? Are we like ripping?
6 months. No, we're actually going to help. We're helping.
Constructive criticism.
We're telling people to listen and call in. 617-779-0850. Say you want to talk Patriots.
How do you know that number by heart, but you have to look over at this piece of paper every single time you say our phone number?
Well said, Dan.
You just shut the hell up. All right.
A quick discussion while Gary's not here. There's a team in San Francisco that plays in an abysmal stadium. Absolutely abysmal.
Yes.
But they got a decent mascot, and he's riding around on a Segway. We can't get that here. We have a beautiful facility. We have a mall built. We can't get anything for the mascot to ride on. I just want to point that out, and I can't do it when Gary's here because he'll cry.
I'll tell you, that stadium's old.
Dump.
Being in that press box is like being like in a submarine.
Terrible.
You know, it's like
yeah,
all
up
these,
and down stairs.
All these, like, you know, little steel staircases. And
hot as can be. The sun was coming in, and there's a glass roof, and it's like 175 degrees.
Yeah.
People kicking you because there's not enough room to go by. What a dump. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but
the camera's moving.
Uh-oh. Is that Gary? Because I made fun of the mascot.
Yeah.
They announce plans every once in a while for a new stadium, but they don't actually have one in the works, do they?
No.
Isn't it like they announce it and then it falls apart,
right.
There's not enough taxpayers?
I mean, they built one for the Giants.
Right.
But they don't have a football
because that place needs to go.
Oh, it really does.
Oh, just a dump.
Strippers was listening to the game. He said, I had to go to the store during the game, so I put on Sirius and got the San Francisco broadcast. It was 7-7 at that point. First thing I hear is how James Sanders runs a 4-7-40 and the Pats nickel D is slow. Bruce just had his big catch. Then after San Francisco's touchdown, they questioned Belichick's genius since we had 2 weeks to get ready for San Francisco, and they said it looks like Martz the genius is outsmarting Bill.
Hit on a couple big plays early. I'm not going to deny that, but it certainly didn't end that way, and the Patriots made their adjustments, and that genius's offense couldn't stay on the field for more than three plays for about 2.5 quarters straight in the middle of the game when it mattered.
Right. I think Belichick has the better of Mike Martz.
Yes, I would agree.
You bet on Belichick every time.
Mike Martz often puts his running back away. I think he could have gone a little longer trying to get Gore going in this game. But I will say, I thought Delpha O'Neal struggled a little bit in the end zone covering Bruce. I believe twice he gave up scores. I thought he came back. He had his first interception, and that's fine, late in the game on a tip ball. But I thought he struggled a little bit, and it's funny because I think we were all starting to say that, you know, there's no more competition. It's Ellis Hobbs and Delpha O'Neal are the starting corners. I thought he took a step back.
I think a positive development is Wheatley getting out there and getting some reps. You know,
well, he's actually behind Will Hite.
No, I know that. I know
Will Hite got out there a lot.
He's still behind Will Hite, but he's starting to get back into the active day roster.
Well, and that might only be because Lewis Sanders is hurt.
Oh, that's true.
I think it's becoming clear that right now Will Hite is ahead of Wheatley, and because Sanders is out, they all kind of got bumped
that's
up.
True.
But
that's true.
I think there's a chance that if Sanders comes back, Wheatley is still. You know, you could take a positive negative. You could say, well, it's good that Will Hite is making plays and coming on.
Yep.
But your second round pick,
right.
For some reason, is slow in his development at this point.
Fectos Otis, O-T-I-S from Missouri, writes in.
That was Al Fecto.
Al Fecto. That's his real name, I think. But anyway, he says, when we grabbed the lead just before the half, I thought we were in pretty good shape. I guess that's why the Pats like to defer on coin flips. You set yourself up for a late score, followed by halftime, followed by getting the ball. You can't put Matt Castle in a position where he has to come from behind in the second half. But let's face it, for better or worse, Matt Castle is our guy this year. This may prove to be the only year he ever starts for anyone, but this year he's it. It's his time. Babe Parilli is not coming through that door, fellas. Joe Capp is not coming through that door either. Mike Taliaferro isn't coming through that door. Not even Kim Hammond is coming through that door.
I've never heard that last name.
Kim Hammond? No?
That's a Patriots quarterback?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty concerned about next week, however. You always hate to play a scared team at their place coming off a loss. Arguably, the Chargers will be playing for their season next week, so I don't like the timing. If we win this one, then we will make the playoffs with Matt Castle.
If they beat the Chargers, that means they're definitely going to make the playoffs?
That's what he says.
That would make you, what, 4-1?
Yeah.
And you're well on your way, certainly, because you have some very winnable games coming up. But as good as I feel coming out of that game, I still feel the same as I always do. I think there's probably a couple more stinkers on the horizon, you know, maybe not quite to the degree of the Dolphins game. And I think there's a couple very good games and then some mediocre ones.
We're in a typical NFL season now.
Right.
Because this is no longer 16-0.
That's what I mean. So I don't think penciling in wins, losses, or anything much beyond, you know, the week that you're in is very wise at this point because, you know, I'm still not sold the defense is great. I think they had a good performance.
Look, I'm shocked the Bills got pasted by the Cardinals.
Well,
now I can understand them losing.
But the quarterback. They lost Trent Edwards on, like, the second play of the
game. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's J.P. Lossman's.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
That, I mean, he stinks. And
okay.
Edwards had a nice thing going there.
But they still gave up 44 points.
No, I know. But that's one of those things where I don't know the specifics of the game, but you certainly don't want J.P. Lossman jogging on the field early in the game if you're if you're a Bills fan. Right. But for this team, I'm still not sold that the defense is fixed and that the secondary is great. You still have Sanders. You know, I think it was Sanders who blew that coverage on Bruce on the corner pattern, that 38-yard completion, I think it was. As I said, I didn't think Delph O'Neill played very well. Hobbs, I thought, was still decent. Even on the touchdown to Gore, he was right there.
Yeah,
it was just a good throw. It's one of those plays where they just beat the pressure of Adalys Thomas. He laid out O'Sullivan, and he put the ball right where Gore could catch it, and Hobbs couldn't do anything about it.
Yep.
But I'm still not sold that the defense is great or the running game is great or we're going to see Castle Tomas every week for at least one big play. This team is going to be a work in progress for most of the season.
Let's see. The boys are out in California, and Emily has a list of things for them to do. So if you're listening, Paul.
Do we know Emily?
I don't know.
She sounds like a new emailer. I like the name Emily. She sounds kind of hot.
Well, okay. I don't know if we need to go there, but Paul, Eric, and who's other? Mike, they can either, if they're listening live or they can listen to the show later, they can hear this. She says some things to do while you're in San Jose. Well, actually not in San Jose, but they're close
enough. They're close. They're in Santa Clara, right on the 10 minutes from San Jose.
She says, screw the juicer, go to Jamba Juice. They're everywhere and so good.
Okay.
Santana Row, great places to eat, shop, and people watch.
That they're probably interested in because a general area where you can get it all done is what PFW looks for.
Right. One of my favorite places to eat is the Melting Pot. It's the amazing fondue place and not outrageously expensive. But if you do end up going, make sure you're hungry enough to eat a Thanksgiving dinner because they give you tons to eat.
Yeah, and it takes 700 hours to eat it. I don't think that's a PFW stop. Paul will never go for fondue. Eric would like it.
Paul with a bubbling hot pot of cheese.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm looking for.
It's too slow, the process of dip and eat and dip and eat.
I've only been to one fondue place. It was in Atlanta, and they had a little river that ran through the restaurant with alligators in the river. And, like, every hour or so, they'd throw, like, food in there, and the alligators would eat meat. It was interesting.
Yeah, I'm not big on
it. It was in the underground in Atlanta.
What's the underground?
It's like this underground mall that they have in Atlanta.
Really?
This was a long time ago. Anyway, speaking of eating, you got to go to In-N-Out and get an animal-style burger. The menu seems really small when you go. That's because they have a secret menu.
Ooh.
And she has a link to it.
Paul was planning on going to In-N-Out often. There was one not too far from our hotel, almost walking distance.
Yeah, I last time I was in SF, I went and it was good.
SF.
Yeah, I like In-N-Out. It does have a limited menu, but you go in, you get your burger, and you get out. That's why they call it In-N-Out.
They call it that for other reasons for me, but...
Wine tasting. She says, if you can't get to Napa Valley, there are a lot of great local wineries. My favorite is Pichetti.
Is that the winery or the wine or what the hell is
it's
that?
It's called, she just says Pichetti.
You should forward this email to Eric. First of all, he's the coordinator for the group. He does all the research.
He's been printing out maps and all
But he's also, he would be interested in fondue and wine and gay men, whatever.
I would offer to get a drink with you, but I'm going back to school Monday night, and being a college student, I'm totally broke and can't afford to buy lunch. In like 10 years, I'll be a doctor, and then I can afford to buy lunch more than strippers. Well, that's as if you guys are still around. Paul will be. In the meantime, he'll be here. In the meantime, maybe I can send you some homemade cookies if you send me your address.
Two gender, work on that.
Yeah.
College. I bet you she's cute. And a photo with the cookies.
She does have a quick football question. At the game, it seemed like Mike Vrabel was put in a few times during non-goal-like situations. I'm not sure if it seemed more than usual because I was at the game and heard every time they put him in or if they actually used him on offense more. How do the Patriots use Vrabel on non-goal-line offensive snaps? Was he put in more than usual? If so, any idea why?
He was a blocking tight end.
But why him? Why not Dave Thomas or...
Well, I believe it was in.
I saw him at a goal line.
It was in short yardage. Yeah. Well, they were all goal line type plays. They were all, you know, third and ones or whatever.
Yeah.
They also use Russ Hochstein a lot. So, you know, they only have two tight ends right now, right? If I'm not mistaken.
That's right, because Spock is gone.
It's just Watson and Thomas. So when they go to those three tight end sets, and even other times, they've used Thomas as a fullback, a true fullback, lined up with his hand on the ground. So Vrabel and Hochstein are the next in line for those tight end positions. I'm assuming, and Mark Lavoir must not be comfortable doing it because generally it's that extra tackle is also one of your extra tight ends. We've seen Wesley Britt, Tom Ashworth over the years play that role. And if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen Lavore do it, so I don't know if he's not comfortable, he's not good at it, whatever it is. But they were using him in what would be goal line type packages, you know, short yardage packages.
Was that cutting down in his defensive reps? Because I didn't hear Vrabel's name a lot on defense.
None of the defense played a lot because there were so limited plays,
yeah.
And then they rotated at every position.
Yeah.
As I said, Richard Seymour said, I could probably count the plays I actually played on, like, my two hands.
Yeah.
It was single-digit type plays. Pierre Woods played a lot.
Yep.
Gary Guyton played a lot. They had a lot of sub-packages, which moved different guys around, different roles with linebackers and defensive linemen. Nobody played a lot. I mean, Adalys Thomas probably played the most. I haven't seen the Mike Reese breakdown yet, but Thomas played a lot, but the bulk of the defense was in and out at all three levels.
Is it fair to say that if you're the Chargers and you're hoping to get some information off on the defense from this game, you're out of luck?
To some degree, because I do think this was a game plan heavy game for Mike Martz's offense. Clearly they were going to go with a lot of sub packages and a lot of different looks with, as Bill said, they had four defensive linemen, three defensive linemen, one defensive lineman. I don't think the Chargers need to spend a lot of time saying, okay, Gary Guyton and Pierre Woods are going to play a lot. Because I think there's a good chance you don't see a ton of Gary Guyton and Pierre Woods at all. So, this one is, they'll need to be aware of all of it, but I certainly don't think they put a lot of eggs in this game film basket.
Let's see. Count Bill Berry among the people who are very upset with Patriots Monday and Friday. He has a very, very lengthy email, but the gist of it is that he's not buying it.
Okay. That's unfortunate.
He wants more Patriots on Monday and Friday.
As there should be.
Again. 779-0850, area code 617. Call in and say, I want to talk Patriots. It's that simple. There's enough of you out there that you can change. You can make change, like Obama says. Change you can count on.
Should we get a new phone number?
Ours?
Because you have no problem with that. And is it because it's 0850? I mean, do we need to get something like...
Speaking of Barack Obama.
Do we need to get something with, like, PFW as the last three digits?
508-543-7482.
Because you still have to look at it. Even then, you looked at it. You're just rattling off the EEI number, and this you still have to look at after 10 years.
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
I think, two gender, can you talk to Gary? Maybe we can get a new number down here, something that's like...
It's just one of those numbers, like, you know...
4447-PFW.
There's some words that no matter what, you can't remember how to spell them. This is like ingrained in me that I can't remember it. There's like some type of barrier that keeps me from memorizing this number.
You're retarded?
Well, that's part of it, probably. You know. Oh, two gender like that
one. He did like that one. He's my audience. I turned to him to see. Always got positive feedback from two gender.
Ping Pong writes in.
Hey, Ping Pong.
How's it going? I just wanted to say that I think the Pats played a somewhat sloppy game on Sunday. Don't label me as one of those negative Patriots fans, but I call stuff what it is. I think that Castle should have done better job taking care of the ball, but as Tom Brady said, a win is a win no matter how you get it. A couple of things I noticed about the game. The defense did a much better job containing the run. 77 yards total rushing is pretty good. I was happy to see that Castle took a couple shots deep to Moss, even though the one got picked. And three,
two.
I was also happy to see the secondary get three interceptions. P.S. is Merriweather starting over Sanders now?
No.
And I have noticed that once former Patriots play for other teams, they don't perform as well as they did when they were with the Pats.
Tully Bandekin,
Samuel,
no different.
Drew Bledsoe, Deion Branch. What do you guys and Eric think about this?
Asante Samuel... As far as I know, is playing very well.
He's playing all right, yeah.
Deion Branch has
been stay on the field.
Injured since the day he left.
And we knew that when he got rid of him, that he's very injury prone.
No question.
Yeah.
And you're using it as propaganda and your little Fred-like spin.
Belichick
knew that when he was here. That's why he didn't play him in the preseason.
That's right.
So they knew he was a diminutive receiver.
And that's why they didn't want to pay him what he was at.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay, that first time we can see eye to eye on a somewhat controversial subject.
I don't think that's controversial.
I thought he was going into Tully Bantakane here. That's one of those where I think everybody except the team that signed him knew that. Matt Chatham. They
Who's
signed
the tight end that went to Seattle. Not
Ashworth.
Tom Ashworth.
That's the same kind of thing. Mid-level backup players here that other teams give too much money to.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody thought Tom Ashworth would be a great tackle or Tully Bantakane's the same guy who was here, a special teamer. Every once in a while, he would come in and make a couple plays, but. That's what he's done in San Francisco, and they just happen to have paid him $8 million to do it.
You know, it's a guy like, now the big key would be, like, for example, if Jarvis Green went somewhere else, would he be better or as good as he is here?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Because what if he got a chance to be more of a regular player?
I think he would get exposed.
Okay, so that's kind of the point.
Yes.
You know?
But Deion Branch, I think, is a pretty good player. He's just battled injuries.
He just can't stay.
Hasn't fit. Right. But there's not a lot of examples of good players leaving. Like, Adam Vinatieri is a good player. He left, and he was a good player when he left. Right?
Yes.
So,
and he's still a good player.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
but
they,
speaking of Adam Vinatieri, Henry writes in about Steven Gostkowski.
Great.
And he says, how good do you think Gostkowski is? I can't remember the last time the guy missed a kick.
December 9th, I believe, of last year.
I recall that when he replaced Adam, he seemed a bit a hit or miss from anywhere in front of 49 yards, but now he's drilling it from everywhere. Has he developed significantly, or has he just vastly increased his confidence?
Develops, well, I mean, no one's in his head, so I don't know if we can accurately portray his confidence level, but he's a lot better kicker than he was 2 years ago.
He 17 straight dating back to last year, 10 straight this year.
And killing kickoffs again. Three more touchbacks against the 49ers. He's a Pro Bowl level kicker right now.
Yeah.
From long, short, kickoffs, the whole thing. But I think that comes with being a young kicker. No, I mean, you generally develop. You get better, more confidence, comfort with the guys you're working with, all that. But they hit on him. Unlike the running back that they missed on, they hit on the kicker.
Okay.
You're off the running back, too, so don't shake your head at me.
No, I am. I just, you know, we don't have to bring it up every other email.
You know? That was the first time I brought it up since the beginning of the show.
You know, take cheap shots.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Plus, he's on the West Coast. He can't hear me.
Let's see. This is Attention Playbook, so we'll skip that one. Leave that for...
Are they having that show today?
I don't know. Ask Two Gender. Playbook, yeah. Is he in studio? He is in studio.
Oh, nice.
John is in studio. Let's see. Scott is from Shepherd University.
Never heard of
Where is Shepherd University? I don't know.
Do they learn how to be shepherds?
I don't know.
You know what they do with sheep, all those crazy shepherds.
Hey, guys. Hope everything is going good and great win Sunday. I would like to entertain the question of Anquan Boldin maybe coming as a Patriot next year. I read earlier in the year where he wanted out of Arizona, and he will not resign after this season. What do you
resign?
Resign. So that you got to have the hyphen, or it's resign. So
and Fred reads exactly what's put in front of him.
What do you think about the Patriots signing him to a one-year deal? I believe this is very possible once he is a free agent. It will be one hell of an asset, and yet another Super Bowl run. Of course, we won't be the only team looking at him, but I believe if he doesn't resign, the Patriots will definitely be his first look. And he wrote defiantly, so I didn't read that. I read definitely.
Why would he sign a one-year deal to come here?
I don't know.
He's looking for because
it's the Patriots, and they do whatever we tell them to do.
He's looking for $50 million on a long-term deal with $20 million guaranteed. He's a big play receiver, a proven playmaker with a broken face right now, right? But not everybody, certainly not those types of players, young playmakers, aren't just going to, oh, sure, I'll sign a one-year, $2 million deal to go play for the Patriots. They're not going to sign him.
Glenn,
they have their big play, big money receiver. His name's Randy Moss.
Glenn from Fall River. I saw Matt air it out to Moss Sunday like the rest of us did, and I'm saying that it looked a lot like last year. Yes, even Moss splitting the coverage looked like last year. Question is, will we see more of this in weeks to come, and must we in order to have a shot at the division?
Yes and yes. This offense needs to have Moss a big part of it. They need to have plays down the field, not forcing them so much, but when there is an opportunity to get those, and I do think you need to do it consistently, even if it is quote-unquote forcing it, you need to keep Moss involved and make those plays.
All right. Lunch today was from Larry.
Larry!
And he writes in, hope you enjoyed your lunch. I'm busy preparing my company's month-end financials. I'm an accountant,
so
I can't listen live. I hope you enjoyed your lunch. I was hoping to get you something better than D'Angelo's, maybe next time. And there will be a next time, he says.
You are the best, Larry.
My wife and I had a great time in San Francisco. Lots of Pats fans and a great game. I'm getting more and more comfortable with Castle. He gets sacked a lot, but he's pretty accurate, and he made some big-time throws to get them their last field goal. I'm looking forward to the game in San Diego. Tell all the Pats fans going to San Diego to go to Seau's on Friday night to watch the Sox game. Hey, we'll be there, right? We could go.
Well, we'll be in San Francisco. How far? I mean, San Diego.
Yeah.
Well, how far would we be from Seau's? I'll go. It's just you and me.
We might be there a little late, though. We wanted to overload the place with Boston fans. I know you don't like to talk baseball, but what a great time to be a Boston fan. I met a guy in San Francisco that went to both Sox games in Anaheim, plus he is going to both California Pats games. That's a pretty good 10 days. I tried to get the California PFW guys some breakfast today, but that did not work out. But I was thinking about those San Jose inmates. So,
yeah, don't worry about them. Take care of Fred and Andy. We could use lunch tomorrow.
Well, Larry, thank you for the lunch.
You know who should buy lunch tomorrow? Strippers.
Why?
Because he said 50% of his income was cut. Luckily, half the show isn't here, so we only need 50% of lunch.
That's true. That's true.
That's a good sell job, strippers. Tell me it wasn't.
Two-thirds of the show isn't here.
Actually, numbnut, three-fifths of the show isn't here.
I was counting Paul's, too.
I see what you did there. Well done. Fat boy, Perillo. You think he'll go in the pool?
No.
Somebody might spear him and try to take his blubber for heat. They still have whale lamp oil or whatever.
Think he'll work out while he's there?
No! He hasn't worked out ever in his entire life.
Oh, boy.
That's why he's built like Homer. Simpson, that is.
A lot of people emailing in about Maroney. Maki in Ireland. In his
Maroney's a back that would drive you to drink. I agree.
Maki's email address is cigarettes and alcohol. That's what it is. So,
I like him.
Hey, guys. Just Andy and Fred. Longtime listener. First-time emailer. First of all, love the show, though I rarely get to listen live. Hope to touch on the topic of Maroney today, particularly how he completely wussed out on a play, stepping out to the sideline,
yep,
leaving them to convert a third and one instead of putting his body on the line for once in for those extra few inches.
Yep.
I actually felt disgusted seeing it and was hoping you could give your thoughts on the play and his play in general. Well, we've been talking about it a lot, and Andy's done. I'm very disappointed.
But not done.
I'm not done.
He needs to take a back seat for a while. He needs to go back there and think about what you've done. Seriously, he needs a timeout. He's like a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've been trying that.
They need to do it again. And we thought last year, remember we had all the talk, Brady brought up that he needed, you know, confidence was an issue and that there was then there was that whole, apparently an inside joke with the diapers in his locker that sort of got misportrayed as something else. And then all of a sudden he goes on a month plus where he's very good. He's what he's supposed to be. And then he regressed at some point during the offseason.
Yep.
And it's all mental. Well, aside from the not being able to stay healthy sometimes, but it's all mental.
And Chris from the Bronx agrees. He's wondering what we think of his performance. He's been defending him for this time in New England, waiting for him to break out and stay at a high level. But I'm afraid we might be looking at another Ben Watson. Flashes of athleticism, oft injured, not dependable overall.
And you know what they call those guys?
Chad Jackson.
Deion Branch.
Super Bowl MVP.
Oh.
They call them busts.
Yeah. Well,
starting to look. Remember when those Chad Jackson and Lawrence Maroney were announced as what?
Special picks.
I think we're starting to get. There's a different definition of special that maybe was appropriate for those two guys.
Strippers. Earlier I mentioned we're going to have Patriots external hard drives for sale. He says the drives are huge. He knows you got to have external hard drives.
I understand that, but to put our show on is what I was questioning.
It's one of the things you can put on it. You can save our show.
What does it look like? What does it do?
It's just like a little rectangle that sits and plugs into your computer.
Those little keychain things?
No. That's a flash drive.
Okay.
These are, you know, about the size of, I don't know. I mean, they're not big. Like a little bigger than this brownie that's in front of me from D'Angelo's that Larry sent.
So I just carry that around with everything I have.
But they hold a ton of data, you know. So you're changing computers, you have to worry. You just back up everything onto your hard drive, and then when you get your new computer, just plug it back in.
They're huge. Strippers is in the industry, so if Strippers says they're huge, I agree, they're huge.
Alejandro from Bogota
writes
in.
They're big in porn. I bet a lot of people download all their best porn onto them.
Alejandro says, if the PFW In Progress crew were to engage in a fist fight, who would be the last one standing?
Andy.
I kid you not, but I like Paul's chances.
I don't.
See, you would be the first one down because
your head is too big and it makes
you
top heavy.
It's too big of a target.
I think I could hold my own against you wusses.
You guys are.
Well, I can tell you the first one down, Eric.
Wow.
In a heartbeat. He'll be diving before anybody even swings at him.
No, but you know
He'll
what?
Look like Kimbo Slice.
No, but seriously, though, if there was a free-for-all and it was one of those Rumble Royales or what do they call it?
Royal Rumbles.
You know, where it's the last guy standing.
Yeah.
You know, cage match.
I have no chance. I would because not, you'd all tag team on
no, no, but I wouldn't focus on Eric. I would leave right. him for the last. So he might be, you know, the last one of the last guys standing. I think everyone would have the same
I'd be
strategy.
Out first. I'd be like Andre the Giant. All the little guys would pick on me because they all hate me, and they have this like they'd have this temporary bond against me. And then when I go over the top ropes, they turn on each other.
Right, exactly. That's
how I still like my chances. You're all wusses. I saw you work out for 3.5 seconds at the hotel.
Oh, yeah. I was there longer than you were, my
no,
friend.
No, you weren't.
You left before I did.
I had run 4.5 miles by the time you got there.
It doesn't count back and forth into the bathroom. You don't no. count those.
I'd run. I did a full lifting workout. I did abs. All I saw you do,
lifting
you
workout.
Did one set of like chest press
Three
or
sets.
Shoulder press.
Three sets.
Then you rode the bike, and the pedals were barely moving. You barely were sweating at all.
90 RPMs for 23 minutes. So I was sick.
You I'm looked like an old man. And that's what you are.
Well, you know,
how old are you, by the way?
I'm old, a lot older than you are. And when you're my age, I like to see you.
Just so you know, and this is not meant to be a shot, my mother asked me how old you were from the TV show.
Yeah.
And she started with a number that I think was a bit of a shot at you.
You know, see now, although I did get one email that says that Paul looks 10 years older than Fred.
Well, he does. And did you hear on the bus, one of the people we work with came on and said something. Oh, when we were sitting on the bus, the girls' soccer team from Arizona was at our hotel.
Right.
And they were walking by the bus, and one of them looked at Paul and goes, "Oh, I just want to see Brady." And she was disappointed with Paul.
Too gentle like that one.
But Paul then gets on the bus, and one of the employees that he's worked with for some 5 years goes, "Paul could be Brady's father." Said, Brady's like 31, so he would need to be at least 50.
Right.
And Paul's barely 40. So this person who works with Paul thought he was at least 10 years older than he is.
Wow.
I mean, he does look old. He needs to do something about that. The hair and the pale and the fat. And
I said he should get, you know, plugs.
I think he should.
Yeah.
And not the kind Eric uses.
No. But if he's going to be on TV that much, he should really get the plugs. So if anyone out there is with one of those services, maybe you could mail or email some info to Paul.
He needs it. Yeah. What is it, Bosley or Bosley?
I would do
is
it.
One of them.
I would do it. I could use some in the back.
Not
on
say
my
that
back.
To Eric.
In the back.
No, you're shaving it off your back. You still use the groomer?
Oh sure.
Oh sure.
Couple months every other month.
Speaking of TV, Paul is going to take part in the All Access taping later today that will air.
Oh, that's probably what he was talking about. He had to do something for the craft group.
He's going to be on All Access with one of the other writers or something.
Wow.
So. Fans should look out for that. An appearance of Paul Perillo from the Santa Clara Hotel, home of the Patriots.
So now if they say he looks older than Mike Dowling, then he's really...
Well, the problem on that show, he's going to look older than the host, and the host has got to be older than him, right?
Yeah.
Lynch has been around forever.
Yeah, but he looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul doesn't.
Oh, well. Anyway, Alejandro goes on, it was nice to see an improved Matt Cassel. He managed the pocket a whole lot better, but I have a problem with 5 sacks and 32 attempts. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather see a sack than an interception. Okay. But
so would Eric.
But experience aside, what kind of drill can help a quarterback look off his first read and throw to a secondary target? As for Moss, it was nice to see him yapping at the end of the game. That way those body language comments are thrown away just like Fred's new blender.
That's true. And much like Fred's blender, I don't think they're thrown away. I think they're put in the back pocket, and they could always reappear. But that Moss play was, as we said, as big for those types of reasons, confidence, Moss's attitude, his mental approach, everything. He's a part of the offense again. He's hitting those big plays. It's Randy Moss, and I think that was huge. Drills? No, there aren't any.
Well,
he needs game experience.
No, there is the drill where you have the stopwatch and they drop back and he has
but
to get
no,
it off.
There's no drill like Justin Smith hitting you.
No.
That's game experience.
But there is a timing drill that they do with
quarterbacks. Are you going to get that or should I?
Someone's at the door. Answer the door.
This is Brad Feldman, the voice of the New England Revolution. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's work. Go!
Well, thank you, Mr. Revs. We have a trio this week. They're all called San Francisco Treat. That's San Francisco Treat. One involves 5 pounds of applesauce. One involves the questionable sexuality of a man. So Eric would like that one. And the final We've had about 17 times with a different name each time. So apparently this San Francisco treat is also like the Arkansas Razorback and any other thing you can think of for any city. But it involves surprising a woman.
Oh, okay.
In a certain way.
Kamani has a few emails. First, he says, Fred, good idea about the fans networking like Oprah's crew, but we should come up with a name. Oprah's group is called the Oprah's Angel Network. So we'd have to figure out a name for our legions.
The PFW Posse.
Something
like
that.
When you were trying to figure out slogans for the T-shirt.
Right. When we did. We came up with one. I like it.
Or the jingle.
Online and out of bounds. I like that.
You still got that jingle? The
PFW in progress. Something like that.
He is so slow with that board, it's not even funny.
What is this, first time in the
studio? It's not in there.
You suck.
Also, Kamani wants to know, did Eric meet any new quote-unquote friends?
Some San Francisco treats.
And finally, what's the drive, size of the drive that you're selling? Is it 500 gigs or more? I don't know. We'll get it. It's also going to be available in Staples.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
With a Patriots logo on it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, with a Patriots
and it's
logo.
iOmega, are they the leader in this technology?
Yeah, they're one. iOmega is owned by EMC,
oh,
which is a big company.
And they named the club level here, or the suite level, or whatever it is, right? There's a lot of EMCs on this place.
Suite level.
They were out there. We were near their building, I believe.
Well, there's a lot of, I mean,
a lot of Yahoo buildings out there.
Yeah, that's their campus. Is right next to where we were.
We should probably cheese that.
Yahoo?
No. Giving things that are right near the hotel.
Oh, right, right. Yahoo! Let's see. Who is this? He doesn't say his name. He says, I was turned on to you guys by a diehard Pats fan at work and now listen all the time.
Yes.
Although I'm an NFC guy, I'm a Cowboys fan that lives in Florida, and I hate Miami as much as you do. I really enjoy your show and almost all of your individual views on football. Tell Eric to cheer up and enjoy his job more, get involved in arguments, and be more colorful. Not everything is as cut and dry as you make it seem.
Well said.
I have never booed the Cowboys, and true fans of a team should always be on their side no matter what. Good luck this year over there. Not all is lost. P.S. The guy from Spain was a hoot.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
Who was that? You didn't. There's no name there?
No name.
Oh. Email back in, Cowboy fan. We'd like to know who our new listeners are, and we're particularly interested in people who listen who aren't Patriots fans, because that truly amazes.
Because then you're just
me.
Like Paul and Andy.
No, I am a big Patriots fan. Always have been, always will be. Why are you making those uncomfortable noises over there?
So I'll be doing that a lot tonight when I listen to McCain. Matt from Connecticut.
We're not allowed to talk politics, but everybody's with you, by the way, now. Everybody thinks it's over. Last ditch effort tonight. It isn't over.
It's
embarrassing.
He's in the corner of the boxing ring with his eyes closed just throwing haymakers. He's got nothing. He's got nothing.
He has so far. He's reeled. And Obama's right on the hook, and he's about to beat him with that baseball bat and put him in the boat.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
That's right.
Blowout victory for McCain. Oh, wait.
I don't know what you're listening or watching or
don't
reading.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Matt, I will be worried if it is. Matt from
Connecticut. But tonight, by the way, McCain's going to be shining.
Because
this is his format. This is where honesty comes out. This is where truth comes out.
Right.
This is where the guy who actually knows
something
comes out.
So Obama wins.
And there's no teleprompter for Mr. Obama to read off of.
If McCain wins in a blowout, I'm uprooting and I'm moving out of the country.
No, you're not.
Matt from Connecticut. I have come to the conclusion that there is not a single good team in the entire NFL, and I think it will end up with the Giants in the Super Bowl again, and whoever gets hot in the AFC, hopefully it will be the Patriots. Could you imagine us getting to the Super Bowl versus an undefeated Giants team and upsetting them? God, I can't wait.
Well, I've said all season that I think the Giants are the best team in football so far. They've established themselves with some
certainly the most consistent,
right.
And because of their lines.
And
because of the offensive and defensive lines.
People thought that defensive line was going to really struggle with the losses, but they haven't. And they've gotten through some issues here with Plaxico. Obviously, it almost sounds like that was a bonding and a uniting factor, because everybody said it was basically 52 guys plus Plaxico, and the team needed to do something, and they did it. Hopefully that doesn't hurt them moving forward. But I do. I think it's a down year. I don't think there are good teams. And I think in both leagues, I'm not ready to put the Giants in the Super Bowl yet. I think both leagues are really going to come down to who gets hot. And there's other teams. I mean, your Fredskins are doing a nice job for themselves. The Tennessee Titans, oh, by the way, are 5-0. I don't trust Kerry Collins, but the way that defense plays, maybe it won't matter what Kerry Collins is. But it's a down year overall.
Let's see. Josh says, I work 60 hours a week and have a one-year-old son. If you think you are putting me to work doing anything, you can kiss my ass. That show sucks. You are great. Get it fixed. 4 more days. I tell you, you have to. You got to take a stand. You got to take a stand. You know, I can't do everything for everybody. You know I have broad shoulders, but they're only so big.
Get a broader belt.
36. I'm concerned.
Yeah, right.
Alex says, I'm concerned with the team's depth in the secondary. I think bad drafting is the cause. People make fun of Mike Ditka's draft antics, trading all of his picks to grab Ricky Williams. But what about the Patriots' 07 draft? The first pick was Merriweather. Then it was Kareem Brown, Clint Oldenburg, Justin Rogers, Mike Richardson, Justice Hairston, Corey Hilliard, Oscar Lua, and Mike Elgin. None of them are with the team. What do you think?
It was a bad draft.
Yep.
Overall. I mean, there's no really arguing it, but they obviously targeted the secondary this year. So it'll make or break whether that really goes bad drafting for the depth in the secondary. I'm not ready to kick dirt on James Sanders' grave. I know he's had a down year because I think he's had more bad plays than good so far. I still like his game, and I still say, and I said this on the BCN pregame show, and it might sound like blasphemy, but I think when Rodney Harrison leaves, those two guys are both going to be better. I think James Sanders is a more natural, in-the-box kind of safety, and I think Brandon Merriweather showed he has the range to be a pretty good free safety. I think they're all the positions are jumbled right now because of Rodney Harrison and his role with this team. So to me, when those two guys settle in at positions, maybe next year, I think they're both going to be better for it.
Brent says, it's official. I'm over Maroney. I was on the bandwagon, but seeing the play where he went out of bounds rather than push for that extra yard was the end. The guy just does not have the drive at all. And Andy, remind me, what did you say about Kevin Falk at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
Another great
great
analysis.
What?
Analysis.
Finish
all right.
The sentence.
Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games. Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know? Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, Fred and Andy holding down the fort. All the guys are out in the West Coast.
That meatball didn't sit with you.
No, it's sitting with somebody else right now.
Yeah. I got to talk about this trip real quick before we get back into football. Well done by the Patriots with the new planes, with those little TVs on the back of the seat.
Yeah.
That really, really made 5.5, 6 hours feel like a mere 4.5.
Oh, yeah.
Three movies I got in. The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Boo, thumbs down.
Yeah, I was okay.
Hancock, boo, thumbs down.
Yeah. I like Hancock.
Terrible. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Didn't see it.
Tremendous. Two
good
thumbs
movie.
Up. Great movie for those types of comedy, romance, date movie.
Yeah. I agree with you on Hulk. Very predictable.
Sucked.
Didn't really
it was
like
way
it.
Worse than the one 2 years ago.
Hancock, I thought, was very clever and new. And I didn't see it on the – I saw it actually in the movies. I liked it. Man, I thought it was a good movie.
Stupid.
I mean, if you're looking for, like, straight-out action hero, you're going to be – but if you're looking for a nice story and funny, I thought it was really funny.
I didn't think it was funny. I didn't think it
really?
Was action. I didn't think it was anything of any use to anyone.
I disagree, and I'm usually right about the movies.
Now, that's the one downside to those movies, is I watched three movies and still had time to watch a TV show, part of the Red Sox game. That was a long-ass flight, Fred, out there. That was like 6 and 40 minutes or something, 6 hours, 40
minutes. Having that satellite TV.
Oh, that's huge. We didn't have it on the way back, but I was working anyway. Yeah. Fell asleep. You know, that plane was too tight on the way back. I barely got my work done.
Yeah, I mean, we had a whole charter for like 30 people.
I was the last person sitting in a row. And there was at least 15 rows empty behind me. And every person had their own row to themselves.
Right,
not
right.
Just one side of the aisle, both sides of the aisle to themselves. It was amazing.
I was up in first class.
Of course you were. Well, I didn't even know. I just sat down anywhere and then like, oh, we had name tags out like we always do.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And somebody
said, Kirsch in first
somebody
class.
Else, Fred, no, back here. You know, they were, you know.
I'm going to try that next time, sitting in first class. Yeah. See if anybody kicks me out.
Promptly kicked out.
It's going to be, well, when do we have that opportunity again? Coming back from Seattle.
Coming back from Seattle, right.
Oh, wait, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, that's right. You're staying. Paul's coming back next time.
Big trip this week, Fred. A lot of marketing people coming out with us on Friday.
Oh, not happy about that.
Well, it won't matter because there's no players, so it'll still be an empty plane.
Right.
We'll be fine. The problem is coming back Sunday night from, and I do mean night or morning or the next day.
That's going to be brutal. But coming after that game.
Well, it depends. If they go 2-0 on the West Coast, you won't find it brutal. You're going to be downright giddy. You'll be printing your tickets to Tampa. If they beat the Chargers this week, you're going to be giddy.
Well, of course,
and you
they
should
will.
Be.
I should
because
be
because they're going to be 4-1, winning 2 games cross country. I mean, then there'll be reason to get excited.
Yep.
But I also have fears that the Chargers have a lot of talent and could make some plays. Chris Chambers. I know it's early in the week to start talking about.
I'm worried about him and Sproles.
Sproles, the playmaker.
He's that scat back type guy that could, you know, really hurt.
Yeah, I would be concerned about big plays and their playmakers making them.
Yep. Chris with a TIAN says, Castle got Moss deep. That play set the tone for the game as the 49ers seemed to be on their heels the rest of the day. It seemed like that play opened up stuff underneath the rest of the game for Welker and Gaffney.
And by Moss.
Way, good to see Gaffney get in the mix there.
About time.
Also,
see, I was right on him. Everybody wants to point that I was wrong on Falk, which, by the way, I was very, very wrong on Falk. He's still very active. Gaffney has been a nobody. He made more plays coming off the bench and being a fourth, fifth receiver than he is now as the every time he's the third receiver and he's been non-existent. And I know it's Castle and everything, but I just think he's better suited for hitting and getting out of there with plays.
Also, some gimme plays for Moss with the corners playing 10 yards off the rest of the game. Now I'm going to get negative. What's up with Maroney?
He stinks.
that sideline play was pure fear of Patrick Willis barreling down on him, in my opinion. I'm officially done. It's the third year, and he has not stepped up. Anything we get from him this year is bonus. Clearly the best running backs on this team are Morris, Jordan, and Falk.
And Evans. Is there any other ones on the team that I need to go through before I get to Maroney?
Lawrence Boney Maroney.
I generally try to not jump on these emotional reactions that all fans get into, but I have to agree with him. He needs to just, as I said, he's like a little kid. Go have a timeout. Maybe we'll call you in a couple weeks.
Todd says, give Heath Evans Maroney's carries. He might not be capable of a big play, but at least it would feel like he's putting out the effort.
I agree.
Let Maroney return kickoffs. He has no other use. Wow,
that's true.
That's pretty tough.
That's actually interesting. Why don't we put him in that? Oh, it's hard to take Ellis Hall.
Right, Hobbs is so hot.
But Maroney, what was that, 2 years ago where he was very
well.
Good at it?
Yeah.
But Hobbs is, we should talk about that, tremendous.
But it's, you know, it's interesting, though. A guy that isn't hitting a hole quick, you would think he wouldn't do well returning kickoffs because it's the same type of mentality.
But
Just get upfield.
He has to, I think. Because if you dance on those, you literally get killed. There's one thing getting tackled for a two-yard loss. You dance on those, and you will end up on a stretcher getting taken off the field. And I think that's – he needs that. He needs that somebody to – he needs to have that mentality on running plays.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Right. What do you got there?
Chambers got hurt.
This just in?
Boy, I wish I had known that before.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Why don't you read it?
This is from Joff in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. Chambers was carted off the field on Sunday with an apparent knee injury. Is that accurate?
I don't know.
Something Paul could have brought to my
you
attention.
You got the internet right there, Dan Tugender. Why don't you look at that?
Paul Perillo was on the West Coast while I was flying. Probably could have brought that to my attention before we did the preview. And I put, who's hot? I think I put Chambers in there.
Paul? Josh writes in, glad you guys are back. It's so nice to have this two-hour break from reality on Tuesdays. Monday always seems to fly by, and then Tuesdays totally suck. Anyway, Maroney is a bust. The 49ers are soft. The Chargers and Broncos are going to hurt. Thank God they averted the four-game skid. Don't you agree that their terrible O-line made it possible for our defensive strength to be effective?
Yes.
And that during the next two games, the Patriots will likely struggle much more with better O-lines holding up our front seven. I think Cutler is going to carve up the secondary. Damn it, I hate the Broncos. There is one last thing I'd like to point out. Despite not starting a QB this week because that DB Schaub was sick at the last minute, I am still in first in Mini Gary's league. Cormac, you suck. Hang it up. I am barely trying. Now that I have openly talked smack, let the meltdown of my team begin in 3, 2, 1. That's Josh.
Well, so. My team just sucks. I'm 1-4.
So Josh isn't looking. Josh isn't very optimistic about the next two games.
Well, they're going to be tough games. I mean, I agree.
They're all going to be tough games.
Right. That's my point. They have two very good quarterbacks that I think could carve up this secondary if they don't play well. I agree with the offensive line comment. We said that from the beginning that, you know, he was running all day despite only getting sacked just once. And as much as Bill told us all week that their line was good, it wasn't. They don't have a good offensive line. But that said, I still think the Patriots bring some positives to the table. I think you'll see more of the first team, first of all. You know, you keep in mind that there was a lot of Jarvis Green and Mike Wright, Pierre Woods. You're going to see more reps from some of these guys in the coming weeks as they do play better teams. You're going to see Richard Seymour on the field and Mike Vrabel on the field. So we'll see. I certainly, as I said, I don't think you write in victories or losses moving forward with the way the league is and the way this team is right now. What do you think about the linebackers?
For the Patriots?
Because I have a problem with this overall theory. I'm reading a story about the Bills in Sports Illustrated, and it writes, you know, they'll have a key matchup later in the season with the Patriots as they try to show that they're for real in the AFC East, but they should give New England problems on offense because New England's aging and lack of playmaking ability at linebacker. I don't think that's accurate, because I'm sorry, but I look at three of those four linebackers, and I say,
Mayo.
Mike Vrabel's coming in off an all-pro season, so if he lacks playmaking ability, it didn't hurt him last year. Gerard Mayo is a number 10 overall pick who,
right,
without experience, is still an athletic playmaker. And Adalys Thomas was sold to me a year ago
as
a free agent. Oh, the guy can play all 11 positions on defense. He once played corner in all the Chad Johnson story into the Gatorade table. So you're really talking about one guy, Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
So how does one guy become the overall character of a group?
I think when outsiders are making those, you know, evaluations of the Patriots linebackers, they're not really factoring in Mayo yet.
Well, how can you not? They drafted him, and he's played every
– No, but
– Well, not last week. He didn't play very much at all.
We've seen him a lot, but to the rest of the country, he's not a factor yet. To us, he is.
The guy is a football writer for Sports Illustrated. It's not the Bills guy. I would give the Bills guy the benefit of the doubt, just like I'd like people to give me the benefit of the doubt not knowing that Chris Chambers got hurt. But a national football writer, I'm assuming Sports Illustrated pays him pretty good money to know the National Football League, right? Wouldn't you think?
Well, you would
probably makes a strong six-figure salary, right?
Well,
and he doesn't know that Jerod Mayo, the number 10 pick in the draft, is playing and playing pretty well?
Mayo hasn't really been – he's second in the team in tackles, first in solo.
First in solos, I mean
– But, you know, he hasn't really been on ESPN yet. He hasn't been on the top – you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. The guy's a football writer for Sports Illustrated.
Look,
I didn't know he only got his information from SportsCenter.
Listen,
Mayo.
Listen, these guys, the quality of all journalism has gone down.
Except at PFW.
Period. But, you know
– Except at PFW.
You know, until guys get on, you know, the Sports Center and all that, they don't get the type of attention, unfortunately. But is he going to be a solid middle linebacker for a long time in this league? Absolutely.
Solid to well beyond that.
Yeah.
Potentially good, very good, great.
Potential Pro Bowl.
Now, I still think the comparisons to Patrick Willis are unfair because I think Patrick Willis is a Hall of Famer.
And that's the kind of guys that they think are playmakers. That's the definition in their heads of a playmaker.
I just think it's ridiculous. That a guy from Sports Illustrated doesn't know a month into the season or 3 weeks into the season that the number 10 – it's not like he was a fifth-round pick. That's not Gary Guyton, if he didn't know who Gary Guyton was, I'd have no problem with it.
Yeah.
But Jerod Mayo?
But see, you know, it's
that's ridiculous.
That's why – this goes back to our discussion earlier in the show about EEI and about intelligent football talk. You know, the Lawrence Taylor-type players are the ones that get the headline. And when people think, oh, great defensive players, they think of these guys that are always, you know, making the highlight reel-type play. But team defense doesn't really allow for that a lot of times. And that's what the Patriots play. There aren't any freelancers on the Patriots defense. Guys have an assignment, and they do their job, you know. And rarely does it call for one guy to just do whatever you want to do, you know. And so – It's kind of a sacrifice on the part of a great athlete like a Jerod Mayo, but in the end, you have more success as a team.
Speaking of Jerod Mayo, we should pimp Eric's feature.
Oh,
yeah. He did a nice job. He sat down with Jerod Mayo last Tuesday.
On newsstands as we speak.
Watched film with him, showed him sort of the laptop and how it works and how he can cut up plays and search for cut-ups.
Yep.
And I found all that very interesting, the technology involved with what they call them, V-mails, where the coaches have certain things and they send it through.
Females?
V-mails.
No. I was going to say Eric doesn't like that.
I see what you did there. He doesn't like, you know, forget it, Vs. But But I thought they have like, it's like a network, this system they use, where it's all connected and you can search and it goes and gets it from wherever it is on what server.
It's a huge database.
I found that very interesting and sort of how he uses that.
A lot of hard drives.
iOmegas?
I don't know, but needs a lot of space because a lot of video. Video takes up a lot of space. Big files.
Now, isn't that going to get a little bit cumbersome?
What do you mean?
I mean, literally, you're adding thousands and thousands of video files every week.
They probably have some type of archival system where not everything is available every week. They probably queue up certain opponents and certain teams and certain defenses.
I guess it can't be any worse than having videotapes.
No.
I mean, we've seen,
right.
We go through that area to get to security where there's just floor-to-ceiling, wall-to-wall shelves with tapes. And
That's right.
Always laugh because it'll say, like, special teams, Eastern Oklahoma State versus something from some guy they scouted. And so I guess it just seemed, and it also seems a little dangerous. You know, like Gary has his little board and comes in one day and goes, I lost all the sound bites. The board died. Well, what happens when Jimmy D comes in and goes, Bill, bad news. All the video's gone.
That's why you have backup systems.
On iOmega drives.
That's right. That's why you back
up. By the way, Chris Chambers left the game at the end of the third quarter with an apparent ankle injury.
And how apparent and how bad?
Defender rolled over his ankle.
And they had to carry him off for that?
Carted off.
Carted.
I read.
Paul Perillo dropped the ball on that one. I'm not going to lie. I count on
him. Right under the bus.
The guy who's in California, back at the hotel, drinking Miller Lights, could have watched the highlights of the Miami game and told me, that son of a bitch.
Paul, if you're listening, you have been officially thrown under the bus.
Because, unfortunately, all I had to look at was the stats, and Chris Chambers is what I use for who's hot. And he's not hot. He's hurt.
Well, if it's just an ankle roll, he might be back out there.
Yeah, but he might not be himself. By the way, another break for the Patriots. if he's limited in any way.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tomlinson's not playing all that well. Chambers is their big play guy. I think he has like 5 touchdowns on like 10 catches.
Right.
That's a big break for them. Now, the middle of the field, I'd worry about that Gates character.
John in South Carolina, I've noticed that we did not get that much pressure on San Francisco. In fact, we only walked away with 1 sack. Do you think the lack of pressure is because the 3-4 style of play, our line in linebackers, or opponents' offenses are adapting?
Is this John?
John from South Carolina. We actually did get a lot of
pressure. I was going to say, not to be disrespectful, but I couldn't disagree more. I think they were chasing JT O'Sullivan all day. He was running parallel to the line of scrimmage, throwing the ball awkwardly. They only did get the 1 sack, but I thought, you know, that other play we talked about, the touchdown, Adalys Thomas ran through him as he threw the ball to Frank Gore. I thought the pressure was good. And it needs to be good every week with this secondary. It needs to be as good or better than it was moving forward. So,
Leave it to strippers. Somebody emailed in earlier about Jamba Juice and how the guys should go visit it when they're in the West Coast. Stripper says, stay away. Jamba Juice has over 100 grams of sugar in many of their drinks.
That's why it tastes good.
So,
who was that, Emily, who wanted that?
Yeah, Emily, who's going back to school, but she's out in San Francisco.
And she's going to send us fresh break cookies if Two Gender gets to her. And she's
did you send the – he's on the phone. Who the hell's he talking to?
Probably his mom.
Strippers also says Chambers suffered an ankle sprain in the final play of the fourth quarter.
So far it's been knee, third quarter, fourth quarter.
Well, not according to Strippers.
And I believe Strippers, not you.
And that's according to the San Diego Union-Tribune.
That's a break for the Patriots. Strippers, did you ignore my comment about you buying lunch tomorrow since it's only half the staff?
Let's see. Todd, he's recapping my conversation with Paul. He says, Fred said, what are you guys doing today? Paul says, we're going to Alcatraz. Fred said, how do you get there? Paul said, you take a ferry. Fred said, Eric will like that.
I don't even remember that.
I don't know if he actually said that, but that would have been funny.
That's good. Yeah, so they're really working hard out there.
It should have been was, I said, how do you get there? Paul says, you take a ferry. He says, oh, Eric's going?
Right.
That should have been the line.
But you missed it, as usual.
Andy.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, that's Todd writing. I hit the wrong button. See, I need a new hard drive here.
I think you need new fingers and a new head.
Todd says, yep, Chambers got hurt. So we know he got hurt. We're just not sure when and what happened.
And how serious. The biggest issue is he going to play this week? Because that's a big part of their big play offense, and I think this defense is susceptible to big plays.
Todd says, Andy, leave Freddie alone. At least he's trying, juicing, vitamins, working out. Paul has given up. Fred looks 10 years younger than Paul, and Fred is healthier looking as well. Paul needs to go on that extreme makeover show. I like listening to Paul. He makes a lot of good points, but bald, fat, gray-haired, duck-lip, sickly-looking sports writers are hard to watch.
Wait, what is duck-lip?
Duck-lipped.
That's a new one. Most of those I've heard Paul described as before. Right. Duck-lipped?
Duck-lip. And gray hair. I don't think he has enough to say that he's gray hair.
He's got – the stuff he has is pretty gray.
Really?
I do need to ask you, though – did he say you look like you're in better health than a lot of people? Because apparently Todd's never seen you when you come in the office and grab the back of your pants and pull them up and shake in a funny way, but the front doesn't come up because it's stuck.
How the hell did I do that?
You do it all the time. Everybody in the office notices it and laughs. You come in, you go, all right, and you grab like the back of your pants and pull them up, but the front is stuck under your gut, so the front never actually comes up. Only the rear of your pants comes up.
Son of a bitch.
By the way, what pants do you have on today? Is this day 4?
These are you ever hear of Bill's khakis or what is it? Bob's khakis? That's what I have on.
Why don't you have on Fred's khakis?
36.
Yeah, 36. They run big, I bet.
Dan gives me a note. Should I read this now? Dan?
Yeah, you can read it now.
This is a plug for the show coming up. Rook Show.
Okay.
It says starting playbook off. He's going to start off with a conference call from yesterday.
Belichick and some players.
So does that mean John's late? He's running late?
He's doing something else right now.
Okay.
His show is starting and he's, quote, doing something
else? In the stadium doing something for a client.
And then you're interviewing John Blow? Who?
John Blow? Who is John?
John will be on. B-Low will call in. B-Low. Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune.
Kevin,
as well.
Oh, that's good. Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune. Maybe you can figure out what happened to Chris Chambers.
Yeah, can you make sure they ask specifically, tell John that or whatever, and find out how serious, what the prognosis is moving forward?
I thought John Blow might have been John Rook's porn name or something.
It's his name when he goes to San Francisco.
Oh.
I'm John Blow. Would you like?
TG and NJ, Andy, what's Antoine Winfield's contract status? He had a great
sucky.
He had a great game last night for the Vikings. The way he played seemed like he would be a good fit for the Pats. Veteran player, smart, quick, physical. What do you think? The Pats still need help back there in the secondary.
I don't know his contract status, but if you recall, he was the guy when he went to Minnesota. They used sort of a creative deal because they had a lot of cap room the year he joined them. So they basically signed him to a front-loaded deal that had a roster bonus or some sort of bonus for that first year that was like $12 million. So that cut down on his money moving forward. I don't know the length of the deal because that was probably 3 years ago now. But I will look into that. I just want to point out that I know he had a big game. My whole rant about Jared Allen being overrated and overpaid and was ridiculous what they did to get him. I don't know if you noticed, but they're not that great, and he has 2 sacks on the year in 5 games. Same as Antoine Winfield, his teammate who happens to play cornerback, and same as Mike Vrabel, the guy I compared him to. They're the same player. Jared Allen, the most overrated player in the game.
Okay. Pat writes in, I guess the perfect example of the good coming with the bad is our secondary. Our hit or miss, yin yang, hot cold, positive, or parenti secondary. Brandon Merriweather, how about that great one-handed tipped interception? Later on, he commits a blatantly obvious pass interference for 31 yards.
Whoa. I'm not sure that was blatantly obvious.
I think that was a kind of a veteran play he made. A lot of times that's not caught. I think he had his hand kind of looped over and locked down the other guy.
And
it was a good call by the ref.
I'm not sure. I don't love that call. I thought the receiver was initiating contact as much as the DB.
No, I think that
Maybe I'll watch it again.
If you look at it,
Merriweather's
hand was on top of his arm holding it down.
I thought it swapped. I thought they were like doing a little hand fighting there.
Well, when I saw it, I said, "Oh, that's a clear call."
I need to watch that again. I'll try to get a replay of that, but I didn't think I don't think that's a terrible play. It's not. Yeah, I had no problem with that play.
He goes on to say, Rodney Harrison lets Isaac Bruce roam free in the secondary for a huge gain. Later plays perfect coverage against Battle and gets the interception. Delta O'Neill gets completely beat on the TD to Bruce. Oh, and before I forget, Eric is gay. Now, you know, did we have to say that?
No, and you didn't have to read it. But you always do.
But later gets both feet down for a late interception, which, by the way, was on fourth down, and our offense basically lost 24 yards. Ellis Hobbs, explosive abilities, but he's got burnt by a running back. Our DBs are not bad, just not consistent. Speaking of Hobbs, I went into the archives of Patriots today and saw him. He was interviewing Hobbs. Man, he's a definite skeezer. What's a skeezer? I don't know. Anyway, he doesn't like B-Low.
I agree. That was a bad play by Delph O'Neill. They did lose yardage there on a fourth down play, but I think it's in line with who he is. He's always been a very confident playmaker, a Terrell Buckley type. That was his 32nd career interception, I believe. I'm sure he's aware of it. If you remember, he told Mike Parenti last week, this league is filled with playmakers. Guys like, I believe he went Champ Bailey, T.O., myself.
Right.
I mean, he included himself among the elite in the game.
Right. Also, Pat wants our opinion about the whole Chad Ochocinco thing. I read that Reebok refused to make that on-field jersey because they've already produced 100,000 Chad Johnson jerseys and would cost them $4 million to replace. Now, hold on. If my calculations are correct, that's $40 a jersey. These blanks sell them for about $80 to $125 a jersey. And what would have been the difference if he traded to another team? And on top of all that, let's be serious, Reebok would have made all that money come right back faster than Eric Wood under a San Francisco streetlight and a pair of red pumps and a leopard skin dress. Really, with all that different color jerseys, all the male and female jerseys, all the youth and adult jerseys, it would have been an easy for Reebok. Now, I'm a diehard Pats fan. I know that for sure when I found out that I'm the only one of my friends who listened to the show, and I was thinking about buying that jersey myself. That's the NFL for you. No fun league. I wanted to know your guys' perspective on that.
My guess is they would make the money because I think it would be a popular jersey league-wide, like he said. I think there's some people that would buy it just for the gimmick factor of it. So I think they would make it back. But obviously, there's a markup. Reebok has one price, but along the chain, everybody picks up their money. And You don't think Gillette Stadium has a big markup on the jerseys they sell and all that. So that's the way business works. I mean, that's their cost, basically, as they're saying. Although I doubt that. I'm sure it cost them about $4 in Malaysia.
Strippers went to some of the San Diego websites, and he says Rivers ribs are acting up after two
yes.
rough weeks. And also, receiver Chris Chambers appears likely to sit against the Patriots with an ankle sprain suffered against the Dolphins.
It's coming together for the Patriots to have a two-game winning streak on the West Coast.
I mean, this is all what it's about, one of those miracle seasons.
Embrace the hate in 08, baby.
You really think this is turning into a miracle season?
I would think that, you know, if you go back and
you beat the 49ers.
These are the kind of things.
Stink.
No, but these are the kind of things that happen.
I'm as happy as anyone, but you beat the 49ers.
No, but if these things continue to happen, you know, you never know.
You beat a bad team.
Why can't you have fun with it?
I do have fun with it, but I need to reel you in when you get ridiculous.
I'm not getting ridiculous.
You're not going to embarrass me on TV.
In order,
though,
look, you have to admit, and you will admit this, in order for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl this year, a lot of weird things are going to have to happen.
Wild and crazy stuff.
You know, things like it's time to play the Chargers and Chris Chambers and Phillip Rivers on 100%. Those are the kind of things that happen in those miracle-type seasons. Things, the ball just bounces your way.
Just like to point out, 1 week ago they were getting their hats handed to them by the Miami Dolphins, and they were embarrassed, and they said they felt like chickens with their heads cut off.
By the way,
the Dolphins, the same team that beat the Chargers.
I know.
Are the Dolphins
handily.
Better than we thought they were?
Well, the thing about the Dolphins is their defense just shut down San Diego.
Can we say, finally, Bill Parcells is great?
Who didn't say that?
There's I'll always been people, oh, he question. Hasn't won a Super Bowl since... You know, everything.
So you think this is all Bill Parcells?
That's a pretty good observation.
I don't know whether it's all him,
right?
But when he goes to a franchise, they get better.
Well, then if he has a if this is Bill Parcells, then Dallas Cowboys have a lawsuit because part of the thing
because he put together a great talent.
Because part of the thing for him to go to Miami was that he wasn't running things.
Well, whatever he's doing. His stamp is on this franchise, correct?
Oh, I'm sure.
Stop trying to make lawsuits all throughout the league. Jerry Jones has enough problems.
Let's see. Dean Kame. Let's see. Stripper says, fun fact, segues are from Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah, because that overrated guy
Dean Kamen, the mad genius inventor, created them.
Yeah, wasted space. Those things are stupid.
But actually, they're very expensive, but he did create a similar thing for wheelchairs.
That go upstairs.
Those
now, that's
awesome.
Freaking cool.
Yeah.
That is a
but
cool
I don't think
invention.
Anyone that needs them can afford them.
Well, that's the problem with all his inventions. They're all thousands and tens of thousands. But that's cool. If they could, I mean, at some point those will trickle down and people will be able to get in those. And for a guy in a wheelchair to just see stairs and drive up them, very cool.
Yeah, those are cool. I would like one of those Segways, but you know, where would you use it?
I'm surprised you don't have one.
They should have them for Patriot Place, for like security people to get
Remember
around.
When they had them here for a while, like at games, there'd be people zipping around on the sideline?
I think we were fooling around with them, yeah.
They wouldn't be...
They had them in Arizona at the hotel.
They wouldn't be terrible for like security here to zip around if you wanted a couple of those that could go parking lot, stadium.
What about Pat Patriot?
Well, that's what I want to have it. Pat Patriot, just like the guy in San Francisco. Did you see the Niner, whatever his
name
is?
Yeah, we could like dress it up so it looks like a little chariot or something, you know?
Can we get one? Can you... I mean, you're in that department.
Hey, do you have – is Gary here? Is he gone? He's behind you? So he's not here. Well, you're like shaking your head no.
No, he's here. He's
yes.
in the stadium.
I know, but he's not in the booth. He can't hear me right now. Do you have any say in the entertainment on game day?
Nothing. I'm an intern.
Can you make suggestions?
Do you have meetings? Do you guys
I mean, I think this is really where you could make your mark, Dan. You know, to kind of come up with the ideas that make game day better. And then people, hey, this guy really brings a lot to the table. You know?
I say we put Pat Patriot on a four-wheeler and give him a rocket launcher that shoots Patriot missiles.
What would you do to improve game day entertainment?
I think we have great game day entertainment.
Oh, you're such a punani. God, he's not even here.
We play great videos. We have great music.
He won't listen. Just be honest.
Nobody cares about the videos, by the way.
That video before the Dolphins game was pretty cool.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It was cool.
People want on the field live action.
Yes.
Like Kansas City. Have you ever been to Kansas City?
No, but it's so cluttered already because we have to fulfill
our
clients.
Gary should send you to Kansas City.
Yeah, do some research there. They do it right. They have those wrestling masters with the big mouse, and he fights a guy in a Patriots jersey and beats him and then drives off, jumps through hoops on his four-wheeler. See, they don't care.
No,
they don't want to get better.
No, no.
It's embarrassing.
What do you want me to do?
Suggest something. You're in that department. When Fred screws up,
so he'll get as mad at me as he does at you.
When Fred screws up a cover, I go, Fred, that was a terrible cover. We got to talk about these next week, and we get good covers. Do the same thing. He's not going to fire you because you say, Gary, don't you think we could maybe jazz it up a little bit?
Huh? He's really. They got to
grow some stones.
We don't have the money to do that.
We've never said no to a good
idea.
That's
right. Forbes just came out. What are the Patriots? $1.3 billion. If they could improve the game day experience and make more money, because you need to spend money to make money.
Are they not sold out every single game?
I don't know.
Todd says, Andy, do you remember the movie Howard the Duck? Paul reminds me of Howard with that big lower body in the duck lips.
He is shaped a little bit like a duck. but really... He looks like Homer Simpson. Everybody should watch The Simpsons, and if you've never seen Paul, that's what Paul looks like. Couple hairs on top, big fat midsection, fat guy who never does anything.
All right, well, that's it for this edition. Actually, we went over today.
Since we started 5 minutes late, thanks to the numbnut behind the glass.
All right, well, we'll be back tomorrow, Andy and I. Paul will call in, and get ready for John Rook's show. He's going to have John Blow and Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com Radio.